latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. Every minute of every day, an ambulance is turned away from a hospital because emergency rooms are full. Dr. Brent Eastman of Scripps Health in San Diego co-authored a study that shows the nation's emergency care system is at its breaking point.
In the past, was an unusual occurrence for an ambulance to be diverted from the hospital to which they were taking a sick patient. It now happens, unfortunately, with increasing regularity.
The study does not show how many people die as a result, but concludes emergency rooms can barely handle a typical night of 911 calls, much less an epidemic or terrorist attack. In Baghdad today, a noticeable increase in security with checkpoints throughout the city and vehicle searches. President Bush, just back from Iraq, said he was optimistic after meeting with the new leaders.
I sense something different happening in Iraq.
But he said to expect zero violence there is unreasonable. The president also defended the detention center at Guantanamo, saying dangerous terror suspects are being held there. Last weekend, three detainees committed suicide. And today, the Miami Herald's Carol Rosenberg was among the reporters ordered to leave by the military.
A Pentagon spokeswoman called me up and told me that in the interest of fairness and equity, rather than sending more reporters, they were going to clear the base of every independent journalist.
Rosenberg also says bed sheets were taken from detainees there during the day. Sheets were used to make nooses in those suicides. Another sweep by Customs and Immigration agents has netted more than 2,000 arrests. This operation, like those before it, took place across the U.S.
In all, almost 2,200 arrests in 34 states and the District of Columbia by dozens of teams of armed federal agents.
This morning, we're going to go out with one of them.
CBS News rode with agents on one sweep in Newburgh, New York. Most of the people picked up were men convicted of crimes already ordered by judges to leave the country. Now the Department of Homeland Security plans to put them on one-way flights. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The Defense Department's being sued over its monitoring of Americans.
The ACLU wants to know what groups the Pentagon is collecting information on. The lead plaintiff is the American Friends Service Committee, which opposes the Iraq War. But the ACLU's Scott Michaelman says there are several others.
Veterans for Peace, the Raging Grannies of Pittsburgh and of Seattle.
Is the government really monitoring Raging Grannies?
It's really quite frightening the degree to which the government feels that it needs to spy on ordinary Americans exercising their legal rights to express their opinion.
The Pentagon says it has no comment. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished 110 points higher. The Nasdaq was up 13. It's good news for investors. Stocks have fallen for six of the last seven trading days, mostly due to inflation fears. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on Earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
The next space shuttle crew is in Florida to practice for next month's planned launch. CBS News correspondent Peter King has a preview.
They've been training for 3 years.
I won't say we're perfect, but we're as good as we're going
to
get.
Rookie astronaut Mike Fossum says now it's time to fly. The Discovery crew climbs aboard the shuttle for a countdown dress rehearsal early tomorrow. With a launch pad as a backdrop, fellow rookie Lisa Nowak says she's excited.
It does finally seem real this time.
And Commander Steve Lindsay was asked about the much-postponed target launch date.
Well, I could get myself in real trouble talking about this. Because I've been telling the crew that I'm guaranteeing July 1st.
NASA expects to announce its decision Saturday. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Alberto, now a tropical depression, is blamed for one death now as it makes its way up the east coast of the United States. A teenager in North Carolina drowned today. That storm has dumped more than 8 inches of rain in some areas. It's also spawned tornadoes. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, originating once again in Washington, D.C. We are deep inside the Beltway, and today I'm even closer to the White House. We are at the Center for American Progress on H Street in downtown Washington, D.C., and I want to thank the folks here at the Center for hosting me today as we conclude our 3 days of live broadcast from Washington. If you notice the difference between Monday and Tuesday and the broadcast right now, it's that we don't have a crowd of screaming progressives in the background challenging the host and guests to shout over them. And if you have been listening the last few days, I appreciate you putting up with some of that background noise. We couldn't do much to control it, but it was really gratifying for me to be a part of it and to not just to absorb, you know, some of the progressive spirituality and inspiration, but also to have good, solid, principled arguments with fellow progressives about the future of the Democratic Party, the prospects for this November, and the need to really build a movement that can compare to the longevity, the strategy, and the depth of the Republican right in this country. Lots on the program today. In our second hour, you're going to hear recorded interviews that we taped at the Take Back America event over the last couple of days. And next hour, you'll be hearing Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Democrat from the North Shore of Chicago. She is really a powerful progressive and a great voice. And I want to pause for a second to acknowledge a speech she gave today, which we were unable to tape. She gave a speech to the closing session of the Take Back America conference, and Barack Obama, the senator from Illinois, was the closing speaker. But Schakowsky made a very interesting set of statements. And one thing, if you listen to our program on a regular basis, Brad Friedman, who was with us last Friday, noted that none of the people like him who are fighting for voter integrity and election integrity in this country were invited to this Take Back America conference. And that was a disappointment to Brad, and I took note of that. But Jan Schakowsky made a major step forward today, in my mind, as a Democrat acknowledging the problems in our election, and in specific, the 2004 Ohio race. And she cited Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s lengthy recent article in Rolling Stone magazine and said that she agrees with it. She flatly said that she agrees that the Ohio election in 2004 was stolen. And she didn't leave it there. She apologized to the voter integrity movement, and I don't know if that's the right term for it, but that's what I call it,
and said that the Democratic Party had not given them sufficient notice and respect, and she is determined to change that. So we'll talk more about that on Friday with Brad Friedman, but I think it is a noteworthy comment that I heard just today. Also next hour, Susie Turnbull, who is the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, Jared Bernstein from the Economic Policy Institute, and Gloria Totten, a very powerful grassroots organizer who came out of the pro-choice movement and is now president of Progressive Majority. She won an award from the Take Back America conference last night for her work helping to recruit a whole new crop, a whole new generation of candidates for Democratic office holders. And so that's what's on tap next hour. In our third hour today, Matt Renner, our super producer, will take over, and he is going to be, I believe, be talking with Larissa Alexandrovna and possibly others. He'll tell you about that as we get closer. Here I am in Washington, D.C. at the Center for American Progress, and I'm pleased to bring onto the program two of the able contributors, co-editors of the Daily Progress Report, Nico Pitney and Amanda Turkle. Welcome to both of you.
Hey, Peter.
Thank you.
How are you doing tonight?
Very well. Yeah. It's a good night in Washington.
Well, it's kind of humid. You got the humidifier turned up. And that's what I remember not so fondly about this part of the country this time of the year.
That's true, although you came in a pretty mild part of the summer.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to thank you for the work that you do, because I'm not the only one who does a radio talk show who relies on the Progress Report for information, analysis, and kind of a spin-free approach to deciphering the news, deciphering the coded messages that come out of the Republican right, and you guys do a great job every day. Amanda, there are, what, four or five of you on the Progress Report team?
There are five of us who write the Progress Report.
Uh-huh. And you're each putting in about 60 hours a week, is my estimation?
That's right. We get here at about anywhere from 6:30 to 7:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And tell me what attracts you to this kind of work.
Well, for a young person who wants to be involved in the public policy process, it's really one of the most exciting jobs you can have. We are able to follow the news all day, read about it, and then write about what we read and kind of what's happening that day. And it's very exciting to know that people all over the country, including listeners of your show, are reading what we write and getting out the progressive message.
Mm-hmm. And, Nico, what brought you into this? You told me you graduated from UC Santa Barbara, majored in boogie boarding. And what brought you east to the humidity and the swamp here and your interest in politics and public policy?
I think it was the Progress Report was started before I came to the center, and I had been a big admirer. I'm interested in the intersection between the internet and politics, and I thought it was a really unique product. Not everyone is interested in having this document chock full of facts, but I thought, I found it very compelling. It was useful, kind of as a toolbox for intellectual self-defense. I come from a conservative family, and I found it very useful to argue with my brothers and parents. So,
and have you converted any members of your family?
I've given it my best shot. I'm not sure a full conversion, but it comes in degrees.
Mm-hmm. And what about in your social circles? Here in Washington, do you hang out with people who are openly conservative, and do you have lively nighttime conversations, maybe fueled by a glass of wine or two, Amanda?
Well, around here, I think just because I tend to spend so much time with the people with whom I work, most of my friends tend to be liberal. But I actually do have some friends who work for Senator Trent Lott, Representative Gene Schmidt, some of the most conservative members in Congress. And they actually get our press releases. They read the Progress Report, so it's always exciting to hear what they have to say about it.
Now, you mentioned Gene Schmidt, and we'll try to honor your friend and your friendship with that person. I grew up in Cincinnati, and I am so deeply embarrassed by that woman. And not only the way she beat Paul Hackett in a closely contested race, and of course it's a heavily Republican area, that's why I left, and not a surprise that it was uphill for Paul Hackett, but then she went in to the Congress and took talking points from other people as she assaulted and insulted the distinguished congressman from Pennsylvania, Jack Murtha. Does your friend cringe, or does he or she just have to kind of suck it up and say, well, that's my boss?
Well, he thinks she's a nice lady, and I think he consoles himself with that. But, Peter, you're right. I mean, from the beginning, she embarrassed herself and she embarrassed her district by attacking Congressman Murtha, which is not what you're supposed to do on the floor to another lawmaker. And, unfortunately, that's what she's remembered for now.
Mm-hmm. And, Nico, you have friends who claim to be conservative or Republican?
I do. You know, you mentioned that we're working 60 hours. I probably don't have too many conservative friends, but it's more a function of the fact that we're virtually always at the office doing something than it is any. I mean, as I said, my family's conservative, and I get along.
Now, one of the items in today's progress report is a memo from Majority Leader John Boehner. He's the new one. He's a Republican from Ohio. And you folks got a hold of a confidential messaging memo. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but I want to hear about where your sources are and how you get these purloined documents. Do you just hang out in that Lafayette Park by the White House and hope somebody will lose a laptop?
Yeah, we sit on a bench usually and just kind of try and make eye contact, see if anyone's noticed us. And occasionally someone sits down and walks up a minute later and there's a briefcase.
Now, this is a leaky town, and I'm just curious, how do you handle it when somebody says, I've got a hot John Boehner memo? Do you say, well, bring it on? Do you say, meet me in Lafayette Park and I'll be under the third pigeon? How do you deal with that, Amanda?
Well, one thing we do try to do is that often bloggers aren't taken seriously. So we do try to remember that we do work for the Center for American Progress, and we try to conduct ourselves as journalists would. So when we get something confidential, we honor the request that they remain anonymous. And some things have actually just fallen into our hands. One of our most popular documents was actually found by a fellow's friend in a Starbucks in Washington, D.C., and it was a map to Donald Rumsfeld's house, as well as talking points that an aide was going to use to brief him. And someone just found that. They were left there and gave them to us, and that was pretty exciting.
And, of course, you followed the directions, drove to Rummy's house, didn't read the materials, and handed them to him, right?
Exactly.
Nico, any techniques you want to talk about?
No, I think a lot of it's building trust with folks who would be willing to give you stuff. And also, you know, you have to find other people reliable enough and use your judgment there, and also build up a level of trust with your readers. I mean, I think when we first launched, maybe we wouldn't have been able to release a document like this and had people trust that it was legitimate. And so you've got to be consistently right, and that's something we take a lot of interest in.
That's Nico Pitney, along with his colleague Amanda Turkle. They are co-editors of the Daily Progress Report right here at the Center for American Progress, where we are broadcasting live today from Washington, D.C. Going to open up the phone lines here in the next segment if you have a question or a comment about issues in the news. We'd love to talk with you. In the Central Coast area, you can call us a local line, 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, call us toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Live from Washington, D.C., you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, hear Linda Gerchick, the number one REMAX commercial investment agent in Arizona. Hear how Linda analyzes and acquires cash flow properties, finances, and leverages her strategies for investors. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Heard all over Northern California, Sunday mornings at 10. For more information, log on to rockrollinrealestate.com or call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes past the hour. We're originating from Washington, D.C. at the Center for American Progress, and I'm joined by co-editors of the Daily Progress Report, Nico Pitney and Amanda Turkel. You can always log on to progressreport.org to get a copy of your own delivered free into your email every day without any pop-ups, and thank you very, very much. Dave's on the line from Eureka this afternoon. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter and friends here. I may be the bearer of some very good news, and your producer, Matt, is looking into it as we speak, I think. But
all right.
Yesterday, Glenn Curtis, was a guest on Talk There, and he was asked the question, how do you feel about running on the very machines that you're reporting on?
Mm-hmm.
And he responded, I will be able to track every vote. So that's how. Has he found a way to get around these damn things?
This is Glenn Curtis in Florida, right?
Yeah, he's running against Tom Finney.
And, sure, we've talked to him on the program before, and just to recap for people, Tom Finney, it's Clint Curtis, by the way. Matt just corrected me here. Clint Curtis was a software programmer who was instructed by his employer in collusion with Tom Finney to figure a way to rig votes and rig the outcome of elections using electronic voting machines. And what Curtis is saying and what Dave is reporting, that basically he's got the antidote because he knows how the systems work and how the code is written. Was he more explicit there, Dave, about the methods he would use?
No, I was hoping that it was Guy that he was talking to would have pursued that with him because it sounded like, wow, that is some big news. This man has found a way around these crooked machines is the way I was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Matt will know more for you here shortly, and maybe you can follow up.
All right, and I'll also talk with Brad about it on Friday, because Brad has been in touch with Curtis and has been covering that issue.
Yeah,
Dave,
he has.
Dave, I want to share something, and I don't know if you heard this. We touched on it briefly on Monday, but the PNAC group, which you have quoted so often and you're quite aware of, the Project for a New American Century, is reportedly on the verge of shutting down. Can't tell whether it's due to the internal struggles between Bill Kristol and some of the other PNAC folks, or if this is finally the excuse to shut down their website and get rid of the incriminating information like the new Pearl Harbor phrase, Dave, that you're quite fond of quoting.
Well, they're a little bit slow getting there. I had the impression they would have done it long ago. It's not the kind of thing you would have thought they would have wanted out on Front Street. There's several other sites, though, that have the whole text of the PNAC.
Oh, sure. They can take it down from their website, but it will live on.
Yes, it will.
We can be assured of that. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
All right. Good to talk with you. Now, Nico and Amanda, I was shocked this morning. I was here in this studio sitting in for Bill Press on his radio show, and Jonathan, one of the producers, pointed out to me that in yesterday's Senate primary race in Virginia, just over the river in the Commonwealth, the turnout was 3.44%. I'm going to repeat that because when I first heard it, I couldn't process it. The total number of registered voters who participated in yesterday's Senate primary, both Democrat and Republican, is under 4%. 96% of the people didn't vote. This is minority rule. And it frightens me that a time like this, when Jeb Wehmb and his opponent were highlighting key issues, you know, like the war in Iraq and the runaway budget deficits and the mismanagement of so many aspects of our government by the Bush administration, how in the heck can only 3% of the registered voters show up? I'm really astounded.
I mean, it's a shocking statistic, but I think we see signs of it all over the country. In Congress, the percentage of seats that are actually competitive is so unbelievably low. It's akin. A lot of people compare it to the Soviet Politburo. They're basically namesakes up there. You can never get them out of office. And the campaigns that are run, there's so little interaction with actual people on the ground. And the interaction there is very plasticky. It's these campaign flyers
negative TV commercials.
Exactly. And so you can see why people just aren't engaged in this system.
Mm-hmm. Amanda?
I think also it's very hard now for new candidates to be incumbents. And I think a lot of voters are just frustrated with, why should I go to the polls when my vote won't make a difference? There are new studies coming out, actually, that show that the technology that incumbents have while they're in office, as additionally, they're allowed to earmark all these projects for their mm-hmm. districts, and they are allowed to spend so much money and raise so much money that it's just really hard for anyone new to come in and get elected.
And just 20 years ago, the big advantage was what's called the franking privilege, because they could send mail and not have to pay the postage. And that is dwarfed now by their access to political action committee money that they in turn spend on television ads, which often don't illuminate anything. It's just, I've got some slime for my opponent, and I'm going to show it to you on TV. Now, that does have an impact, and negative campaigning, I do agree with some analysts, does depress turnout. We only had 30% turnout in California, and we were quite disappointed by that. But to see 3.5%, I just think that's off the charts. And when people like at this conference, the Take Back America conference, postulate that we the Democrats can take back the House and or the Senate this fall, when I look at this kind of participation under these circumstances, I'm not very hopeful. Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly not sure what turnout will be, but hopefully conferences like Take Back America and everything that's being done online, the yearly COAST conference that just happened, hopefully that some of these groups will be able to mobilize some new groups, new voters to come out and vote, get them excited about maybe a new candidate who doesn't have a lot of funding, and hopefully that will help voter turnout, but we'll see.
Yeah. We're talking with Amanda Turkle and Nico Pitney. They're co-editors of the Daily Progress Report here at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to join us, lines are available, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or call us toll-free, 888-579-2540. As we continue, I want to ask you each to give me your impressions of the yearly COSE conference and find out whether I'm too old to attend next year. I'm Peter B. Collins in Washington, D.C.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters on KRXA 540 every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. We choose topics that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. You've heard what Oprah said about using intention to change your life, how celebrities like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie are spotlighting important global issues we need to care about. We've had programs on the great art of storytelling and how best to love your pets. Listen to all our shows archived on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. You can also download them to your favorite MP3 player. We love to bring you programs that are truly meaningful, subjects that keep you thinking, feeling, knowing, and growing. My books, Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway, can be found at Amazon.com. So keep listening. We'll keep talking. Don't miss my show, Joan Kenley's Talking Matters, every Saturday at 3.
Tired of stale, syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh, local, liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal, on the show, every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues from Washington, D.C. in the studios at the Center for American Progress. We're talking with Nico Pitney and Amanda Turkle. And they collaborate with three other people to produce the Daily Progress Report. You can get it for yourself at progressreport.org. And if you have a question or comment, you're invited to join us. And as I mentioned, it's nice and quiet here. The last two nights, it was just so wild at the site of that mini convention. Nice energy and a lot of good people. Just kind of hard to do a radio show. And again, I thank those of you who put up with the noise in order to listen. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, 888-579-2540. Call us toll free. Let's talk about a couple of the issues that you cover in today's Progress Report. First up, John Boehner, who's the new majority leader in the House, replacing Tom Hammer DeLay, the guy who bragged about the K Street project just two blocks up here as he made his exit. And Boehner is planning to hold a debate in the House of Representatives tomorrow regarding the future of our policy toward Iraq. And this comes on the heels of the Senate resolution last year calling this a year of transition in terms of America's occupation of Iraq, and the president's own cabinet-level meetings at Camp David over the weekend, followed by his surprise trip to Baghdad. So people are positioning to try to, you know, put some new spin on the policies toward Iraq. But ever since Boehner announced this plan to hold debate, I smelled a rat. And it reminds me of the so-called debate that took place over the MIRTHA resolution last December. That was a trap, pure and simple. And fortunately, the Democrats did not take that bait. They were unified and rejected this attempt by the Republicans to get Democrats on record on a vote in a very negative way. So, Nico, do you see that that's what is in the offing here? Is Boehner planning to set a trap for Democrats? It is, after all, an election year, and it wouldn't be beyond him to set up a vote that would be embarrassing to Democrats, particularly in heavily red areas.
Well, sure. I mean, I think it's important to note to note the backstory of this. It originally, the idea for this debate began a few months ago. It was a bipartisan idea, and the representatives who wanted it wanted an actual legitimate substantive debate about what's happening there. They wanted it for 2 hours, put aside all of the rhetoric and actually talk about what our policy is there. And the conservative leadership didn't want to do it. They prevented it for several weeks. And finally, Boehner decided to go along, and now we see what he had in mind and why he wants to do it. And this memo leaked describing his plans, and basically he wants to bring it all back to 9/11. Surprise, surprise.
Amanda, tell us about this confidential memo that fell into your hands.
Well, the memo, like Nico said, definitely shows that Representative Boehner is not interested in conducting a dignified deliberation. As Nico also mentioned, it says that Republicans should continually tie the Iraq war to 9/11, even though it's been shown that those aren't related. He also actually encourages Republicans to call Democrats names. Anyone who opposes the president's plan, he said, call them sheepish, weak, and prone to waver endlessly. And the other thing is, once again, they're just going with the you're either with us or against us. You're either with the president's plan, or you're either just hoping terrorist threats will fade away on their own and you're weak. So once again, no real dignified deliberation, just more name calling.
But they left out cut and run.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most powerful focus group tested phrase for the Republican talking points these days.
Somehow I imagine it'll find its way into the debate.
John Kerry, in his speech yesterday at the Take Back America conference, did some interesting things. As I mentioned on the program yesterday, he came flat out and said that he made a mistake in voting for the war. He explicitly said, and in very simple language, unlike most of John Kerry's public speaking, he said he was misled by the intelligence, that this is a tragic mistake. And he countered the comment by Senator Clinton in the speech just an hour before, when she said that she could not support the setting of a date for final withdrawal of U.S. troops. And Kerry argued very forcefully that he will push for a resolution to do just that, and he's proposing a date at the end of 2006. That's a pretty aggressive move, and he just defined it in terms of his own opposition that he expressed so valiantly in 1971 to the Vietnam War. But the other thing that he did in this speech is he took the phrase cut and run, and he turned it on the Republicans. He said they cut and run with Hurricane Katrina. They cut and run from Afghanistan. They have cut and run on investing in America's students by increasing the cost of interest on student loans and cutting the available dollars. And he went on and on with a litany of those. And I thought it was a powerful kind of counter use of the term inoculation, if
yeah.
you will.
You know, Arianna Huffington, she said last night, she said, I cried during John Kerry's speech because if he had given it in 2004, he would have been our president.
Exactly. You really remember the Grand Canyon scene in 2004?
Sure, I do.
I mean, I saw that footage, and I've said this many times, I wanted to push him over the edge because he was asked an easy question by a reporter, you know, would you change your vote? Would you modify your position vis-a-vis Iraq? And he said no. Now, that had to be Bob Shrum talking into his ear. That's my guess. But it was such a bonehead move at a time when he really could have distinguished himself from the president and from this mistaken war.
You know, cut and run didn't make it into Boehner's memo, but it was uttered by another prominent conservative this week, which is Karl Rove. He went up to speak in New Hampshire on Monday night and said that people like Murtha and Kerry would stay by your side for the first few bullets, but then turn away. And he called Kerry's plan cut and run plan. So mm-hmm. it's still very much on their agenda.
Yeah. Well, I guess we won't be surprised by the tone of this debate that is scheduled for tomorrow. But it is instructive to get the scoop here on this insider memo and the probable tactics of the Republicans. Now, the lead item in today's progress report is about a survey that you conducted here at CAP and in conjunction with Foreign Policy Magazine. Amanda, tell us a little bit about the baseline here. Who did you talk to and what did they say?
Well, we in Foreign Policy Magazine surveyed 100 foreign policy experts, both conservative and liberal, and we asked them about the war on terror. 84% of them said that America is losing the war on terror, and that was both conservatives and liberals. 90% of moderates agreed that America's losing, and actually 71% of conservatives agreed with that.
Wow. Has anybody told Bush?
I don't think so.
He wouldn't listen.
Did any of these individuals, you know, there have been a series of meetings with people like Madeleine Albright and former secretaries of state and defense. There have been two of these where the president called them in and asked for frank comments. And Albright has told her story most publicly about this, that she was given an opportunity to speak, that she laid out some of her concerns, defined the war as one of choice and a mistake, and the president basically said, thank you very much for your thoughts. And in the news conference, gosh, I can't remember whether it was today or an earlier one, he was asked if he had made any changes in policy in response to the suggestions of critics. It was today, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And he basically dodged the question, is the way I remember it.
Yeah, I mean, and the interesting thing is that just last week, the Washington Post had a big write-up about how he's now, you know, he's changed his ways, he's accepting all these new views, and they used as one of these examples, it wasn't a former secretary's, but he brought in several generals. General McCaffrey was the most notable one, and that was, you know, supposed to show that he was open to new ideas, but McCaffrey admitted later that all of these military officials he brought in were supportive of the original invasion. And, you know, if you were supportive, if you felt like there was a legitimate reason to go in, you're going to have a very different idea of what we ought to do going forward,
yeah.
Basically completing the mission as you see it. And he's really not opening himself up to meaningful new ideas.
Now, I didn't click on the link here. At the end of this post, this paragraph, it reads, the message is clear. To effectively address the threat of international terrorists, America must change course in Iraq, and the Center for American Progress has a plan. Is that the Korb-Katulis plan?
It is, strategic redeployment.
Uh-huh. 2.0.
2.0. Updated.
Okay. Well, I'm familiar with that, and it was first put together by Korb and Katulis last fall. And then the Rev was January, February? around there?
No, it actually just came out last month, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how does that differ from the plan that the Bush administration claims they have?
Well, I think basically their plan is that, you know, as the Iraqi forces stand up, we'll stand down. But they have, A, no strategy to actually train those forces. But they also don't have the incentives there to get the Iraqi government to get serious about training them. Our position is that we've got to use the threat of the U.S. forces pulling out to get the Iraqi political officials to take it seriously and to move on getting their security situation settled. And the Bush administration obviously takes a much different tact and sees our presence there as vital. And that's probably the main distinction.
Mm-hmm.
And another difference is just the President Bush and his administration have repeatedly said they refuse to set a timetable, and strategic redeployment lays out a very clear timetable of when troops should be withdrawn from Iraq.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and continue with Nico Pitney and Amanda Turkle here at the Center for American Progress. As we mentioned, they're co-editors of the Daily Progress Report. There's room for your calls. We're going to talk about Karl Rove in the next segment. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free at 888-579-2540. It's 45 minutes past the hour, and in Washington, D.C., I'm Peter B. Collins.
I can't get this pressure point out of my head. Can't get this pressure point out of my head. I'm feeling in work, you know I'm feeling in bed.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
Tom Hartman.
And Hans Blix was saying, there's no threat there. In a week and a half before we invaded, Hans Blix and Mohammed Al-Bar and I were going to submit a report to the UN saying, there's no evidence of weapons of mass destruction here. We have found the proof that they actually destroyed them. And Bush knew that. That's why he had to invade as quickly as he did.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
It's not a war. It's a crime. Invading another country is a crime. Just like when Hitler invaded Poland, this is a crime.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Yeah, Abbott Avenue. It's the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C. We're at the Center for American Progress. Coming up next hour, recorded interviews that we collected over the last few days here at the Take Back America Conference. You'll hear Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Illinois, a Democrat, Susie Turnbull, who is the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, Gloria Totten, who is the president of Progressive Majority, and they are doing fabulous work. They have just started four county projects in California where they are working to recruit a new crop of candidates to run for office as Democrats. Also, Jared Bernstein will be on the program in the next hour. He's from the Economic Policy Institute, and we're going to talk about the growing gap between workers and the fat cats who run the shops. So that's all ahead here as we continue our broadcast from Washington, D.C. Nico Pitney and Amanda Turkle with me here at the Center for American Progress. And Amanda, you and I guess the whole Progress Report team went out to Las Vegas for the yearly COSE confab. Tell us a little bit about what your impressions were.
Well, one of the most exciting things was just to meet all these bloggers, people who have large blogs, for example, Duncan Black of Eschaton was there, you know, Marcos of Daily COSE was there, mm-hmm. but there are also a lot of people who just post comments on blogs, who maybe just have a small personal blog, and some people who just read blogs, but they're activists in their own communities. And what was nice to see was how much the internet has brought them together and how anxious everyone was to come together, meet each other, share ideas. A lot of people actually identified themselves by their names on Daily COSE.
Uh-huh.
So what was nice was just to see the type of community that the internet and blogs have been able to build.
Mm-hmm. And Nico?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you know about blogs was there. There was a lot of passion, a lot of activism, but I think it really showed how much people want to take what they're doing online and bring it offline and actually, you know, create physical communities, actually meet the people who they're corresponding with online and turn this into something that's lasting.
Mm-hmm. One person who I talked to today here in Washington was also at the yearly COSE in Vegas last week, and he made this interesting comment. He's a grassroots activist, get out the vote kind of guy, and he said he's worried that the bloggers are getting a little bit too big of a head, getting a sense of power, and kind of mimicking or mirroring the attitudes of established organizations. And he made a comparison to the environmental movement when it first got started in the around 1970. Very grassroots, and you know, the Sierra Club didn't have a $150 million annual budget and wasn't a big, you know, institution. And his comment was that he's concerned that the bloggers have gotten a whiff of their influence, and with Mark Warner threw a party that he thought cost $100,000. And he said he went to that party with a sense of guilt, but he wanted to check it out, and it was free after all. But his sense was that this is becoming like the political party infrastructures, and he seemed a little wary of that. Amanda, did you pick up any of that kind of a sense?
Well, some of the media coverage touched on that as well. And, you know, some of the bloggers we talked to were excited that, you know, the media is finally taking notice of us. You know, look how much attention we're getting. But I don't think that blogging will ever become such an institution, because part of what makes blogging what it is that anyone can start a blog. You know, starting a newspaper or starting a large television show is much harder. But for a blog, you can just sign on to Blogger or any of these other services. It's free. You can start a blog and, you know, suddenly you're part of this community. And a lot of people we spoke to actually were still frustrated that they weren't being heard. So, well, I think that view has some merit. I think that it's not, you know, it's not quite there yet. And just the nature of blogging, I don't know if it ever will be.
Mm-hmm. Nico?
Yeah, I mean, you can look back in the last year, sites like Fire Dog Lake or Glenn Greenwald, who now has a number one selling book.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, they were nowhere to be found. And,
yeah.
And
we discovered Glenn through his blog last November or December when he started writing about Guantanamo.
And so it's not, I mean, the big figures out there in the blog world, if they start to, if they get an attitude that is condescending towards the grassroots, I think you'll see their readership decline. And on the flip side, folks who were just virtual unknowns can actually make their way and really get a very big following very quickly.
Did you pick up a lot of concern about the net neutrality issues and the legislation that appears to be aimed at giving more corporate power and the ability to provide tiered services so that, you know, a big corporate blog or site would be able to be accessed faster and essentially, you know, be on a premium track. And, you know, a little old blogger who does it in his bathroom at home is going to be subject to either slower speeds or actual limited access for certain classes of customers.
Definitely. This was a major issue. People at the at Yearly Coast were maybe a little upset because the House, on the day the conference started, the House voted down net neutrality. And so, you know, people were upset, but the real fight is in the Senate. It's been long expected that the House would oppose net neutrality, but bloggers have successfully made this a major issue. People are being forced to take a stand, and so, you know, there's a real victory there.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, did you get an idea that there are any issues that don't gain traction in the blogosphere? For example, I know that MySpace and other websites were used to rally Latinos and others who went public with their immigration protests and marches in March and on May 1st. But are there some topics that people just don't cover? For example, I don't see a lot about Iran and the concerns about our saber-rattling toward Tehran in many of the blogs. I don't want to make a gross generalization because I don't have time to read them all.
Yeah, no, you're right. A lot of times we will cover an issue that we think is really important, and, you know, it just won't get linked anywhere. It won't get many comments. But, you know, as you said, that never applies to all blogs. There is always a blog on anything you may be interested in. You know, education is something that sometimes may not get a lot of coverage on our blog, but there are quite a few really good education blogs. You know, there are Spanish language blogs. There are blogs that cover Iran. So, you know, if, like, the top five liberal blogs aren't covering an issue, there are many other places you can go to find it.
Mm-hmm. Nico?
This was actually a problem that was discussed there. You brought up the immigration marches. I was at a panel with Simon Rosenberg, who's at the New Democrat Network,
yeah,
who do a lot of outreach to Latino communities. And someone came up and said, you know, I'm a blogger. She was Latina, but there's no Latino Daily Coast out there. And Simon Rosenberg said to her, you know, I'm happy to give you money. I would love for you to start it, and if you're willing to, I'll give you the seed money. We've got to be doing that. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually took him up on his offer. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Simon's an interesting guy. He ran for chair of the DNC, and I think he does have some very forward-looking ideas and approaches.
Yeah, absolutely. He presented with Howard Dean, who's also utilizing technology well in the DNC, and
mm-hmm.
also a gentleman from the New Politics Institute, which is another great group doing that kind
yeah.
of work.
About 2 minutes remaining. The Karl Rove story is one that surprised me and, frankly, disappoints me. And I was confronted by a contrary caller when I hosted the Bill Press show this morning, and he accused me of wishful thinking. And I pled guilty to misdemeanor, wishful thinking, in the Karl Rove indictment, which apparently didn't happen, or if it did, some deal was made that quashed it, or they found some way out of it. I'm just curious, as you look at this, maybe you're a little bit less biased or involved, but do you see that Fitzgerald made the right call, or is there really a call? Because so far, all we have is the word of Rove's attorney, Robert Luskin. Nico?
I think, you know, we knew from the very beginning that the charges that Fitzgerald was tasked to investigate are extremely difficult to prove. I mean, they're among the most difficult. And so we always knew it was an uphill battle for him to show that these blatantly improper acts were also illegal. And so in a sense, I'm not surprised. Given all of the talk about the indictments, it was obviously very disappointing to not see that occur. But it's not over. You know, we still have a major trial. Dick Cheney may be called to testify. The Bush administration hasn't paid fully for what they did.
Any comment, Amanda?
I mean, I also think while Rove wasn't indicted, I don't think he should be left off the hook completely. You know, President Bush and Scott McClellan there were a lot of lies that they told, things that they said, and then later they contradicted or that turned out to be false. And I think now Rove and the administration have some answers to give to the American public about exactly what went wrong. You know,
but the president just wants to move on.
Exactly.
And he can't discuss the case because Libby won't come to trial until next January.
And his old excuse, though, was that Rove's trial was, the Rove investigation was ongoing. So they're going to keep coming up with an excuse.
That's Amanda Turkle, Nico Pitney. Thank you both for joining me. And thanks for the Daily Progress Report.
Thank you.
This is Peter B. Collins in Washington, D.C. Coming up next, recorded interviews with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Susie Turnbull of the Democratic National Committee, and Gloria Totten of Progressive Majority. And Matt Renner will host the third hour today. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same station, as usual.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushes.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
President Bush flying high after his surprise visit to Baghdad.
It's worth it. It is necessary. And we will succeed.
Operation Return to Sender. Bad news for illegal immigrants with rap sheets.
Federal agents say they made more than 2,100 arrests.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush said it again today. The time for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq will be dictated by the situation on the ground there, not an arbitrary timetable. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer at the White House.
Upbeat following his surprise visit to Baghdad, President Bush predicts steady progress in Iraq, but no early end to the trouble.
I hope there's not an expectation from people that all of a sudden there's going to be zero violence.
And that means a continued U.S. troop presence.
One message that I will continue to send to the enemy is, don't count on us leaving before the mission is complete. Don't bet on it.
He refused to set a timetable for troop withdrawal, and more than ever, the president links his strategy to the new Iraqi government.
We'll seize this moment of opportunity to help the prime minister.
Help that includes an infusion of U.S. advice and other help and the open-ended military presence. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
It's more than a mere show of force in Baghdad, where a crackdown on insurgents and militias begins to take shape. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan.
Described as the largest effort yet to take Baghdad back from insurgents, some 50,000 Iraqi forces and close to 8,000 coalition troops hit the streets today and almost immediately were put to the test. Just hours after the crackdown began, a string of deadly bombings rocked the capital. Still, by Iraq standards, today's mission, dubbed Operation Forward Together, appeared to keep the violence to a minimum.
So what goes with checkpoints? Traffic jams like that one. For the most part, Baghdadians know to just deal with it. Elsewhere in the country, there's a big bunch of angry Sunnis demonstrating in Qasimiyah. They are not saying how they wish they'd had a chance to see President Bush when he was in the country. Neither were those bottle-throwing demonstrators in Basra. Now this message.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness with the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that?
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
It's immigration at the door. Bad news for more than 2,000 illegal immigrants in the U.S. today, half of them in Texas and California. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
In all, almost 2,200 arrests in 34 states and the District of Columbia by dozens of teams of armed federal agents.
Morning, we're going to go out with one of them.
CBS News rode with agents on one sweep in Newburgh, New York. Most of the people picked up were men convicted of crimes already ordered by judges to leave the country. Now the Department of Homeland Security plans to put them on one-way flights. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
There is a kind of shortcut to citizenship for those willing to put it on the line for their new nation.
They've served America, now they are Americans. 146 members of the military from 50 countries.
Azerbaijan, Bangladesh.
As their native nations were named, they stood in crisp dress uniforms and then took oaths of allegiance.
So help me God. Congratulations.
Citizenship and Immigration Services Director Emilio Gonzalez.
You heroes come to this country like millions of others from around the world with a simple hope for freedom and a better life.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News on the aircraft carrier George Washington, Naval Station Norfolk.
The ACLU says the government has been collecting information on average everyday Americans since September 11th. Thing is, no one knows about whom or how much. The ACLU is in court now, hoping to force the government to say. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hear that? It's your heart saying, take care of me. Heart-healthy vitamins and aspirin are good for your heart. Now there's something better. New Cardio EA combines a healthy heart vitamin complex with doctor-recommended aspirin in a convenient one-a-day pill. Cardio EA with aspirin reduces your risk of heart attack and stroke and can lower your cholesterol and blood pressure. So, listen to your heart.
Take new Cardio EA with aspirin daily. Available in the vitamin section at stores everywhere.
Yeah, my truck doesn't have coverage, but if my boat hit it, will my boat policy pay for the damage to my truck?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical.
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
As Peter said, he is going to run to take a plane home, back to this coast. My name is Matt Renner. I'm the producer for the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'll be DJing some of these pre-recorded clips for the next hour. And in the 5 o'clock hour, or for those in Phoenix and Sacramento, I guess that would be the 1 o'clock hour, we will be, or the midnight, the 0 o'clock hour? We will be taking your phone calls, and I'll be joined by Larissa Alexandrovna, the amazing investigative reporter from rawstory.com. So let's check out Peter's interview with Jan Schakowsky, who's a Democratic congresswoman from Chicago's north suburbs. She agreed that the 2004 elections were stolen. She is one of the first ones to come out and say it, and it sounds like the DCC will be publishing something about the stolen election of 2004 in the near future. Unfortunately, she said it after Peter's interview, so he doesn't include that, but we will get her on and have her back to explain. Here we go. Jan Schakowsky on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We continue our special broadcast from Washington, D.C. this week on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining me now here at the Take Back America Conference is Chicago Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky. She represents the North Shore area where I went to school at Northwestern University. Good
great,
to see you.
Great. I know you miss Evanston.
Oh, I do. That's a beautiful town.
Evanston, Illinois.
Yeah, and you live there now.
I do. My district is about half city, half suburban.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, there's a lot of good work that you and other progressives are doing here in Washington. It doesn't get as much attention as I think it should in other parts of the country. Why don't you highlight for us a little bit the work that you're doing currently on health care? Most people identify it as the most significant problem facing America's families, yet there isn't a sense in the media that there is any kind of an organized effort to take on these issues and solve the increases in costs and reduction
in
service.
I mean, and think about that. It's really amazing because if you listen in on families, and actually probably the NSA is listening in on families, but if you listen in on families at their dinner tables at night, what are they talking about? They're talking about, whether they're insured or not, how they're going to be able to afford prescription drugs for their older parents or their disabled child, how they're going to be able to pay that hospital bill, whether or not they can actually afford to get sick in this country. Health bills cause more than half of the personal bankruptcies in this country. So it's a serious problem. The Republicans are taking us in exactly the wrong direction. You know, this idea of the ownership society really means you're on your own, buddy.
Right.
And when it comes to health care, you better figure out how to pay for it by yourself. You're on your own. The cuts in Medicaid, the Medicare Part D prescription drug plan, Part D, some say for disaster or defects or whatever. It is an impossible program to navigate, designed that way so that the drug companies and the insurance companies could make a lot of money. We could solve that simply. And I've got a bill. It's a popular piece of legislation among Democrats and just a couple Republicans. It says, why don't we have a prescription drug benefit under Medicare? They take their Medicare card to the pharmacy, and they get their drugs at a discounted price, pay their premiums, maybe 20% of the cost, whatever it is, a small copayment. Everyone could understand it. What's the problem with that? Well, there's two problems. One, the drug companies don't make huge windfall profits, and two, the insurance companies don't make huge windfall profits. Other than that, it's a great plan. That's the kind of thing that Democrats would do. 15 minutes after we'd be in the majority, we would propose a real prescription drug plan under Medicare.
And Congresswoman Schakowsky, when I look at what's going on in Detroit, where General Motors has invited its entire manufacturing workforce to go away so that they can be replaced by lower-paid people who get benefit packages that are far inferior to the health and pension benefits currently available, I see that as a bellwether, where every company in America is going to say, I want to be like General Motors.
Well, I'll tell you what. In some ways, General Motors is also a victim of this. When you talk about cars coming off the assembly line in the United States, about a couple $1,000, I don't know the exact number, but it's significant.
$1,500 a car.
$1,500 a car, right, goes to health care. Well, how the heck are they supposed to compete on a worldwide market when every other industrialized nation considers health care costs to be part of a national shared obligation
instead of for the
car companies?
May I suggest that when Detroit comes knocking, looking for the next bailout, instead of what we did for Chrysler, we offer single-payer health care for every American, including every employee in Detroit.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the way we're going. And that's why we're focusing on Medicare, because I think what most Americans understand Medicare, the answer is really to create Medicare for all. Eliminate all the holes that are in Medicare right now. But people who are on Medicare love it. They wish it would cover their, all of it, including their prescription drugs. But the idea of Medicare is just wonderful, widely accepted. What if we expanded it to include all Americans? So the United States of America already has a national health care program. We call it Medicare. But it's only for the elderly and persons with disabilities. I think the American people are ready. I think the business community needs to be ready. Small businesses, who often think their self-interest is against this kind of legislation, they can't provide health care for their employees, even if they'd like to do it. They can't afford to do it.
Yeah. We're talking with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Democrat from the North Shore of Chicago, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Last week, Tom DeLay gave his farewell speech, and to me, it was astounding that he could go to the floor, and he had to play tricks to get on the floor, give his speech where he taunted those who had opposed him over the years and bragged about the K Street Project. He's bragging about the very ethical problems that have tainted the Republican leadership in the House, and he seems to be daring anybody to try to indict him for that.
You know, and he comes down there. So I was in the cloakroom. I couldn't bear to be on the floor of the House and actually listen to that and watch him. So I was in the cloakroom watching it on television. And then he says, And those liberals, he says, liberalism means one thing, more. More taxes, more spending. I mean, to the very end, just this divisive, bitter. Here's a guy who served in Congress for 22 years. You would think he would have a little more respect for the institution, for democracy, for his so-called colleagues, although he has no collegial attitude. Just taking a direct, insulting swipe right at all the Democrats. I was standing near the door. I had to move aside because there was this mad rush of Democrats off the floor of the House when he started to just point his finger over to the Democratic side. Imagine. This man is proud of what he's done. I hope he can reflect on that while he's serving a long prison term as well.
And I believe that Leader Pelosi has articulated well the culture of corruption. One of the things that's flying in the face of it is William Jefferson, Dollar Bill Jefferson from Louisiana. Do you believe that your caucus will be able to prevail upon him to resign from the Appropriations Committee?
I don't know that, but let me say, here is the difference. When we talk about the culture of corruption, it's really the cost of corruption. I'm really not sure if most Americans care if Tom DeLago plays golf in Scotland with whoever. But they pay for it at the pump, because it's the oil companies who are writing legislation, paying, you know, giving big contributions to the Republicans, and then reaping policy rewards on the end that stuff their pockets and deprive the American people. The cost of corruption, when the pharmaceutical companies are invited in at the table and Democrats are literally locked out of the conference committee, literally.
Yeah.
They would not let Charlie Rangel or John Dingell in the room to help write the Medicare program, but the pharmaceutical companies said, you can't negotiate for lower prices. They insisted on that. So Americans are paying for the cost of their corruption. The K Street Project is costing money. Now, Bill Jefferson, I don't know the circumstances of it, but I'll tell you this. It is not the same as running a corrupt operation out of the leader's office like Tom DeLay did.
Understood. But when Americans hear about 90,000 in marked bills in the freezer, that doesn't go over very well.
And I do think that there's going to be action taken on the part of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I really do think it's important to make the distinction of how it really impacts people. Of course, the Republicans want to muddy the waters and say it's all the same. And I think most Americans think we are all a bunch of crooks.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Now, you touched on one of the other key illnesses that I put at the feet of DeLay, and that is the corruption of the conference process. Your colleague Barbara Lee was here, and we chatted about an hour ago about her bill to prevent long-term, permanent, or enduring bases in Iraq.
Right,
It was passed by both the House and the Senate, and now the conference committee has deleted it.
Exactly. Stripped it out. And you know what? I think it's as cynical as this. I think some Republicans vote for things knowing, they'll just take care of it in conference. We won't have to worry about
that.
How
do we fix it?
We don't see that again.
This is an abuse of power of the greatest order.
I want to tell you one thing that Nancy Pelosi has said over and over again, that when she is Speaker of the House of Representatives, we're not going to run it their way. There are some people who say, you know, payback time.
Right,
we
our
want
turn.
To do it just like that. Our turn. Lock the doors. Keep them out. We're going to run it our way. She says no, because they are undermining democracy on the floor of the House and Senate every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that. We can't even get amendments that are allowed to be offered, no matter how many. Democrats represent nearly half the population of the United States in the Congress, and yet we can't even get amendments to be offered that reflect the other view of Americans out there.
Congresswoman, our time is tight here. I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I'd love to invite you back on the show. We can talk by phone, and I'd like to continue this conversation.
Anytime. I'd appreciate it.
Jan Schakowsky, Democrat from the North Shore of Chicago, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It's 4:20 now, Diane's favorite time of the day. Diane, can you bring us some traffic?
Absolutely. Going to start in the Santa Cruz Mountains Highway 17 at Redwood Estates Road. Reports of a vehicle on fire on the right-hand shoulder. Actually, no flames can be seen, but heavy smoke coming from the vehicle. So fire department en route for that. In Gilroy, westbound 152 at Poline Road, we have an injury accident there. Solo vehicle actually went off the roadway. In Boulder Creek, Highway 236 and Highway 9, vehicle that hit the guardrail is actually blocking one of the lanes, so CHP tow truck en route for that. And a stalled vehicle in King City, southbound 101 at Wild Horse Road. This report is brought to you by the Mercury News. Job seekers find more jobs in more companies than ever before at the Mercury News Career Fair, June 21st at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Go to mercurynews.info for details. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks so much, Diane.
I could paint a picture with a pen, but a song will only scratch the skin. And there are still.
Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're playing some pre-recorded segments from earlier today. Next up, we've got Susie Turnbull, who's the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. Very interesting woman. She works directly with Howard Dean, so I want to see what she has to say. Let's listen.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C., the scene of the Take Back America conference. Joining me now is Susie Turnbull. She's vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. Welcome, Susie.
Hi. It's great to be with you, Peter.
It's quite a crowd here and very busy. Congressman Conyers just came through, lots of other folks, and it's really delightful to be here and feel this energy.
It's fun and exciting, and it's the right thing to be, the place to be, because it's a campaign for tomorrow.
Yeah. What's it like working with Howard Dean at the DNC these days?
Howard's great. I mean, one of the things that we've got is an ambitious program to make sure that we're involved in every state. We've always talked about the Democratic Party being the people who are going to be out there, whether you're running for dog catcher or president of the United States. And right now we have a program behind us that is helping that happen.
I support the 50-state approach. I know there are some inside players who think you got to just put the money and the resources where we can win. But that's a short-term strategy. That's kind of a corporate quarterly strategy, isn't it?
Well, one of the things I think that people are saying is that there is tremendous opportunity because this administration and this Congress is incredibly vulnerable for so many reasons, and we know what they are. But why we're doing this 50-state strategy is also to make sure that we win in 2006. That's not mutually exclusive. We've got to win these elections this year, and we've been winning since we started putting this in process. Mm-hmm. For example, we're taking back seats in state legislatures in Missouri. Well, that's going to help Claire McCaskill eventually because she's going to have allies working with her on the ground. We've taken seats in Mississippi that people never thought could happen. Even in Utah, we have a council seat that we picked up. These are things that are going to have huge impact not only in the future but today.
Mm-hmm. Susie, I detect a divide in the Democratic Party. And it comes along two fault lines. One is the war in Iraq, and the other is what I see as the split between the centrists, the corporate Democrats of the DLC, and progressives who are more at the grassroots level. Addressing the first issue, we saw an interesting sequence this morning at this conference where Senator Clinton opened up, and she offered, I thought, a very tepid position on the war in Iraq. She was excellent on economic issues, family issues, the environment, and good at self-deprecation. I give her credit. Then Nancy Pelosi came on and was unequivocal about her opposition to the war, and I found that to be a very strong statement. Then John Kerry came out and gave the speech that I wanted to hear when he was at the Grand Canyon in 2004, and I'm glad he finally delivered it. But on Iraq, how are we going to find common ground and really unite the party? We know the polls show that most people think the war was a mistake, that the country is on the wrong track, but how do we translate that down to each congressional race?
Well, I think basically what we're telling people to do is to go with their conscience. But everyone, whether it was Hillary Clinton this morning, John Kerry, or Nancy Pelosi, says that 2006 has to be a year of transition. Not a single Democrat is saying, let's just stay this course. This has been the wrong course, with no direction, with no planning, and we've hit roadblocks along the way the entire time because of the bad planning and the bad faith that this president has taken this country to war with. So what we're saying to people is 2006 is a year of transition. What that means is that we start bringing our troops home. And as we are bringing our troops home, that's also saying to Iraq, hey, guys, you better step up to the plate because it's your game. And that's where the difference is going to be. And I don't think there's a single person who's saying anything opposite that.
Senator Kerry gave a very explicit statement today that he was wrong to have voted for the war, that he was misled by the intelligence, that he is going to introduce a bill and debate this week for a date certain to pull our troops out of Iraq. That's the kind of strong statement that I'd like to hear come from a unified Democratic Party. Am I dreaming?
I don't think you're dreaming, Peter, but what I think you're seeing right now is that as people are evaluating where they've been and where they need to go for their own political future, they're looking at this policy and saying, wait a second, there's been a big mistake. Mm-hmm. And that what they're saying as well is, this is a president who misled us on intelligence, who misled us, not only us, but the troops themselves. And we have a target on their backs right now, and in order to be fair to our troops and to the American people, we got to bring them home.
Governor Dean was on the Today Show this morning and handled it beautifully when Campbell Brown tried to trap him by playing a Pelosi quote and I think a Steny Hoyer quote and saying, gosh, you know, these are very different. And he said, no, they aren't. They aren't totally inconsistent. They are different perspectives of a similar viewpoint. But one of the things that troubles me is that people like Congressman Hoyer continue to use Republican language and talking points, because Hoyer talks about a precipitous withdrawal. And there is no Democrat, even John Kerry calling for a date certain, who is calling for a precipitous withdrawal. That's just bunk.
Right. I think this quote-unquote cut-and-run threat that the Republicans are putting forward is wrong, is absolutely wrong, and that no Democrat is saying there's going to be a precipitous withdrawal. So I think that in that case, I would agree with those who would criticize that statement.
Susie Turnbull with us, Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And we're going to leave it right there for now. When we come back from the break, we'll hear the rest of that interview, as well as an interview with Jared Bernstein and Gloria Totten, I believe is her name. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Me and Larissa will be hosting the last hour live, so we're expecting your calls at 888-579-2540. And call in on any subject. She's a national security expert or an intelligence expert. So check it out and feel free to call in with any questions about what's going on in Iran, Iraq, whatever your conspiracy minds want to dream up. Just kidding. I appreciate it all. So bring it in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to tune in to the greatest reality radio show ever.
But Sheila.
Not now, Kate. Not now. Saturday evening, 6 to 7, we'll have the most interesting people.
But Sheila.
What is it?
You didn't mention my name.
Kate. Of course, Kate. We love you, Kate. That's Kate and Sheila Gale every Saturday evening, 6 to 7.
On reality radio.
AM 540.
On KRXA.
Oh, good, Kate. You done real good.
Oh, thanks.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters on KRXA 540 every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. We choose topics that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. You've heard what Oprah said about using intention to change your life, how celebrities like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie are spotlighting important global issues we need to care about. We've had programs on the great art of storytelling and how best to love your pets. Listen to all our shows archived on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. You can also download them to your favorite MP3 player. We love to bring you programs that are truly meaningful, subjects that keep you thinking, feeling, knowing, and growing. My books, Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway, can be found at Amazon.com. So keep listening. We'll keep talking. Don't miss my show, Joan Kenley's Talking Matters, every Saturday at 3.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
We're back here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to get back to Peter's interview here with Susie Turnbull. Let's take a listen. I want to go ahead and get the whole thing in, so let's play it.
Susie Turnbull with us, Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now to the other issues that divide, the split between the DLC and what I see as the rest of us. And my feeling is that people like Evan Bayh have sent explicit messages to the left wing of the Democratic Party to sit down and shut up. And I resent that. I'm willing to coalesce with Evan Bayh. I don't get the feeling he's willing to broaden the party and accept those of us who oppose the war and who oppose the corporate agenda of the Bush administration.
I think that's really interesting because I haven't heard that from Evan Bayh. I haven't heard that from any of our candidates telling anybody to sit down and shut up. What I think our candidates are saying is tell me, why do you think this? What are you talking about? How can I help? How can we move this country forward? How can we do it together? And our logo, our language, is really saying, together America can be better. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe, and I think that that's the direction that we're taking. Now, we may have people who have different levels of beliefs on social issues, on economic issues, on political issues altogether. But I think that the bottom line is that we share the same core values. And those core values is that you're honest with the American people, that you have an open government, that you have real security, not just this paper, and that we have a future of hope, not fear. That's what we're talking about.
Susie Turnbull, finally, one of the issues that is of most concern to my listeners is the safety and integrity of our voting system. And many people feel that the Democratic leadership doesn't get it, does not see the risk to our democracy and the risk to our electoral fortunes from electronic machines that are hackable and leave us at minimum with a lack of confidence in that integrity.
Peter, I can't tell you that how often I hear that same thing. No matter where you go, I was in Montclair, New Jersey 2 weeks ago. The first question out of the box was, tell us, how can we trust our vote? And what we're telling everybody is that the best thing that we can do, honestly and clearly, is make sure that every state has an operation that works and is responsible, that there is a paper ballot, there is a traceable system, and that we have secretaries of states and every single person who's touching that ballot who's there for the pure integrity of an election system.
Next up, we've got an interview with Peter and Jared Bernstein. Let's get right to it.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C., and we are at this Take Back America conference. Jared Bernstein joins us. He is director of the Living Standards Program at the Economic Policy Institute here in Washington, and he's author of a new book called All Together Now, Common Sense for a Fair Economy. Jared, nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, as we take a look at American politics and the role that economics plays, there are many of us who are hoping that the problems, the economic problems that the average American has shouldered during this Bush administration will cause people to rethink and say, hey, it's time for a change. And I was talking earlier today with a gentleman from Detroit and mentioned that I believe that the situation there really epitomizes the problems, as General Motors is trying to unload its entire manufacturing workforce mm-hmm. to get out from under its pension and health benefit programs. So where do you see the opportunities for progressives, Democrats, to really reach voters and talk to them about how much they have suffered under this administration?
Precisely in the area of economic insecurity. Granted, you're going to have to get past a lot of distractions, whether it's gay marriage, flag burning, or that many-ton gorilla, the war in Iraq. One thing that, and those are obviously very divisive, but one issue that really is, I think, potentially uniting folks across blue states and red states is exactly this issue of economic insecurity. You know, we have had an economic expansion that began in 2001 and that by many measures has been pretty exemplary. We just had the best quarter of GDP growth in 2 years. We had productivity growth, which has been stellar, really off the charts. And by most economists' mantra, that means living standards ought to be rising. But in fact, living standards are inching backwards for many, and I'd say the majority of Americans. I mean, real family median income, the income of the family right in the middle of the income scale, is down 3% since 2000. Now, that's $1,500. It's not a ton, but it's down while the economy is doing pretty well. So it's this set of policies and practices emanating from obviously a very conservative administration that leads to an economy that looks pretty good until you actually take a look at the people in it.
Jared Bernstein, we have a president who has cut taxes repeatedly, even recklessly, in my opinion. In California, we have a governor who's taken a no new taxes pledge, even as the state has been running deficits for 5 years now. And the promise of tax cuts seems to trump the benefits provided by tax payments. How do we turn this around to where taxes aren't a dirty word and government is not seen as evil? Instead, it is the leveler that helps people cope with the huge disparities between rich and poor in this country.
Well, you nailed it at the end of your question there. Huge disparities between rich and poor. Those are as huge as ever. And in fact, given this dynamic I just described, the faster economic growth yet backsliding, the gap is the widest on record. And remember, Bill Clinton tapped this back in 1992. And actually raised taxes on folks at the very top of the income scale and heralded in. I mean, I'm not saying anything about Clinton, positive, negative. I'm talking about the economic record, which speaks for itself.
Yeah.
The man raised taxes on those at the top. He actually lowered taxes significantly, largely through an expansion of the earned income tax credit, a wage subsidy for low-income people, lowered taxes on the bottom, and heralded in the best economy we've seen for middle America in 30 years, the first full employment economy in 30 years. Faster productivity growth, that was broadly shared. Now, we happen to have that fast productivity growth. That regime is still in place, but the distributional mechanism has been completely thrown out of whack by the dynamics we've been describing, especially in an after-tax sense, given this regressive tax cuts. So the idea is to communicate to the electorate that the inequitable distribution, the gap between those at the top, the middle, and the bottom, ought to be addressed by economic policy, including a realignment of taxes. Not so much increasing the share of the economy, and I emphasize this in my book, the share of the economy that we spend on government is about 20%, on average, going back about 50 years. The Bush folks didn't change that one bit. They cut the revenue side. They didn't cut the spending side. So keep that share at around 20%. Get your revenues back up and start thinking about the distributional consequences of your policies. I mean, I think one challenge that we have in this regard is that at least the pollsters will tell you that these politics involved in inequality and distribution don't resonate with people as much as they ought to.
But why not? The average American family has shouldered huge increases in the cost of health insurance and out-of-pocket co-payments. School tuition at state universities has gone up.
Exactly,
the gas price, I mean, come
that's
on.
That's because that's where you have to talk about it. The words you just said are the words you have to use. If you talk about rich-poor gaps, that doesn't reach people. If you talk about middle-class squeeze, and if you point out to people what they already know, and you connect with them in a way that's honest and really reaches them, connecting the dots between your policies and the healthcare squeeze, the gas squeeze, the college tuition squeeze, the housing squeeze in certain parts of the country, I have to believe that would resonate with people. So much of it is is talking about this stuff in a way that it reaches folks.
Jared Bernstein with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's from the Economic Policy Institute. Give us the elevator pitch on your book. What do you cover there, and what would people find out if they read your book?
They would find out where economic policy, I guess I'd argue precisely where economic policy has gotten off track in the past few decades, and some ideas about how to get it on, back on track. I introduce what I call yo-yo economics, which is a shorthand for you're on your own. And the notion is that over the past few decades, definitely with a big ratcheting up by the Bush crew, economic policy has taken a thrust from this "you're on your own" notion, where every challenge we face can be met with a tax cut for rich people and a private account for pension, health care, et cetera.
And Jared, isn't the implicit message is that we're all just about to get filthy rich, and so we want to be like the ultra-rich as soon as we get there?
That's certainly the message, and the mechanism by which that's going to happen through yo-yo economics is by the market. If you simply give people a tax cut and a private account and send them out there on their own, somehow, miraculously, the market will figure out the best way for them to deal with globalization, the addition of literally millions of skilled workers into the global workforce, the healthcare crisis, which is somehow you on your own as a better, quote, healthcare consumer, are going to be able to fight it out better than would be the as an individual in your little silo, better than would be the case if you pooled the risk across 300 million Americans. All of this, somehow we've been sold this bill of goods that this you're on your own approach, this yo-yo approach, will save the day once it interacts with markets and some, you know, great Milton Friedman-esque fairy dust sprinkled in there in the middle. And I contrast with what I call a wit agenda, which is we're in this together. And the WIT agenda pushes back against these yo-yo risk shifts, the idea that you get ahead by shifting risk onto individuals and their families as opposed to absorbing risk at a much more pooled level of government. And that's really the core of the book.
And did Katrina teach us anything about yo-yo and WIT?
Katrina is very much at the heart of chapter one of the book. And, yes, I think it – I mean, I argue that certainly it was an informative and a teaching moment. However, political forces are very much in play here, trying to skew what is probably one of the most important insights that Katrina could have yielded. One of the benefits that ought to have come out of that tragedy is the notion that you're on your own just doesn't work.
No, it certainly doesn't.
I mean, it's lethal. Yeah. It's lethal when you're talking about globalization, healthcare, and Force 5 hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Jared, and a whole lot of other stuff.
Thanks for joining us today. A pleasure talking with you.
My pleasure.
Jared Bernstein, director of the Living Standards Program at the Economic Policy Institute. From Washington, D.C., you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
It's 447. Let's check traffic with Metro Diane.
going to start in Prunedale, Highway 156 at Cathedral Oak Road. Keep your eyes open for a tire in the lanes there. In Gilroy, westbound 152 at Pole Line Road, we have an injury accident. Stolen vehicle actually drove off the roadway, so CHP is on scene waiting for a tow truck to arrive for that. Also in Gilroy, Highway 152 on-ramp to 101, have a pedestrian taking a walk there, so CHP en route to tell him that's not a good idea. Check in the Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, stolen accident-free. This report is brought to you by your local Dodge dealer. Test drive any Dodge through June 18th and get four grandstand tickets to the June 24th race at Infineon. While there, ask about 0% or up to $5,000 cash allowance on select models. Hurry, tickets are limited. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues from Washington, D.C. The parade of Bush administration felons has just entered Radio Row here. There's Dick Cheney, Condi Rice, Don Rumsfeld, and W. himself. We're joined by Gloria Totten. She's president of Progressive Majority. Gloria, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Tell us what the focus is at Progressive Majority. The name sounds great.
We have a lot of strong affinity to the name, but Progressive Majority is really taking on the charge of becoming the candidate recruitment operation for the left. So we are literally in the states recruiting progressives to run for office, from school board to city council to mayor to sheriff to state senator, with the idea being that we'll create a farm team of a new kind of candidate, people who are authentic progressives, already leaders in our movement, that we will then give the political skills to so that they can win and ascend in politics.
Is there a general sense that the left doesn't have enough of a bench?
Oh, I wouldn't say just the left. I'd say the entire Democratic Party doesn't have enough of a bench. My home state of Minnesota, I was an organizer there. I started working on Paul Wellstone's race in 1990, and when he and Sheila passed away, as we all know, the Democratic Party looked long and hard in a state with a long progressive populist tradition to find somebody who could step up and run there. And unfortunately, that's the case. It's a stark example, but that's the case in too many places.
Right.
Not to mention the folks that we have running for Congress that frankly aren't that exciting, and that are being told by the National Democratic Party that they shouldn't take progressive positions on many issues.
Yeah. There are also a lot of people who struggle. I have a friend, a progressive, who ran for Congress in the John Doolittle district in California. Mm-hmm. And it's her first time. She has great credentials, worked in the state legislature as a staffer, but it's very difficult to get traction, to raise money, and to take on an entrenched incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the Democratic Party was no help to her and is no help to most challengers, particularly at those early stages.
Right, and it's very difficult. They're concentrating their resources on, maybe, I would count maybe 30 competitive congressional races today, even in this political climate. So they're concentrating their resources on those races and aren't really inclined to go outside of that map.
Yeah.
And what we've done is, well, and I would add to that as established Democrats, it's not in their interest to have more people understand politics and be able to break in. They like it this way. I mean, there are people who have power within the Democratic Party that like it and want to keep it. So they don't want folks like me messing with their business.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what Progressive Majority does. We think competition is healthy. We think it's better for the political discourse. And we think it'll bring a stronger quality of elected official to office if we do it.
I hear a slogan, Progressive Majority, we mess with the incumbent stuff. But this is one of the issues, too, because certainly there are many great members who have served for a long time. John Conyers just came through here. I don't want term limits for John Conyers.
Yep.
On the other hand, there are people who I feel have been there too long, they're too entrenched, their focus is on their own future and maintaining power, and they're not really that interested in the next generation of leadership.
Right.
So how do we gently give those people the heave, the
well,
hook?
I, you know, I think a lot of progressives turn to term limits because we weren't competitive electorally. We haven't done this as well as the other side has. We haven't engaged, and in fact, we've been elitist, and we've sort of eschewed politics. We've thought it's dirty, you have to ask people for money, you might have to compromise, you've got to put on a suit and play this certain role that everybody thinks a candidate is supposed to look like. And none of that's true if we engage. But I think that's also a big part of the problem. So the way we take them out isn't to find things like term limits, which just frankly gives us an inexperienced class of governors.
Right.
But we increase our own political muscle, our own effectiveness, and we get in there and we break down the system. We take the mystery out of it. That's a big part of what progressive majority does. We take people like us who are willing to write a campaign plan, tell you what doors you should knock on so you're not wasting your time, lend some professionalism to these campaigns that aren't going to get support by the establishment, and go in there and do it. And if you lose the first time, pick yourself up and run again.
Mm-hmm. Gloria Totten with us, president of the Progressive Majority. Now, you come out of activism, starting with Wellstone, and you focused a lot on a woman's right to choose. It's currently under serious assault in both Louisiana and South Dakota. They hope to bring those cases up to the newly packed Supreme Court and overturn Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
This has become a divisive issue for the Democratic Party. We have a number of centrists, Pennsylvania, Missouri, where people are running for the Senate who are pro-life or at least not champions of the choice side. How do we cope with that by, acknowledging that there is room for disagreement while maintaining a focus on preserving that right to choose under very difficult circumstances?
Well, I think that it's a very, very fundamental right. I grew up in a family where every woman in my family's destiny was shaped by their ability to choose their reproductive future. And it's critical. And I don't think it should be compromised. And I certainly don't think that my party, the Democratic Party, should be seeking candidates out who have a position that's contrary to not just to mine, but to the party platform.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there are places where people think that gives the Democrat a competitive edge in statewide or even in congressional elections. I don't happen to think that it's true. I don't think that there's a consistent pattern historically to indicate that that's true. But progressive majority refuses to look back. We refuse to really fight that much about it. Our job is going to be to go out and find people who are good on the issues and who can be competitive electorally. And in our states, we've found that the Democratic Party now looks to us to say who is going to be the best person in this district. You've got a farm team. Help us find this candidate.
But let's take Pennsylvania. I was so impressed with Chuck Panaccio.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's hard for me to watch as he got bigfooted by Chuck Schumer and the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee. And basically they tried to push him aside. He refused, and I credit him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have seen top-down interference, and I really prefer to let people decide.
Right.
Paul Hackett should have been permitted to run in Ohio, and if he lost, hey, that's what the voters decided. The party shouldn't have imposed that.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I don't think it's right when they do that, and I believe that primaries and competition is better for progressives and better for politics.
How can we have a civil debate about the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think having Howard Dean in as chairman is a big step toward that. I really do. I mean, he is committed to the grassroots. He comes from the states. He understands local government. He understands how you can use local government as a platform to ascend into national politics. So it all starts, I think, with people who have a fundamental understanding of some of these things and aren't going to just reflexively buy into the way that it's been done before. So I think that is possible. I also think that progressives, and we're doing this in our states, need to become part of the Democratic Party infrastructure. I mean, it's fine to lead from the outside in, but we're going to need to lead from the inside out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some stale leadership in some of these parties that we complain every day about, and it wouldn't take that much to go in and get rid of them.
Gloria Totten, what is the Progressive Majority doing in California right now?
Well, we just started our program in California, and we're going to set up our candidate recruitment program there. We're going to focus on part of the Central Valley, part of Orange County and San Diego area, and the red areas of the state where the Republicans have made major gains in the last few election cycles. They've literally gone from blue to red. They're also the fastest growing counties in the state. In the four counties that we'll be focusing on, they are expected by the next census to grow by 1 million voters. Their red counties. Kerry won the state by 1.1 million voters. We put California in play, we'll never see another White House in Democratic or progressive control again. So we're going in there. We're not going to go into the liberal enclaves.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to go in and fight with progressives in Los Angeles or Berkeley.
And you better send people who really like hot weather.
And we'll send people who really like hot weather. But really go in and, as I said, work from the ground up. And that's really important, too, when it comes to these emerging demographic patterns that we're seeing in major areas of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Progressive Majority has a project called the Racial Justice Campaign that's dedicated to prioritizing the election of candidates of color and recruiting candidates of color. And our states are required to recruit candidates proportionate to their state's population within each racial group. And so we're really bringing people into politics that these new voters are going to see familiar faces when politicians show up at their door. And that's going to make a big difference in these communities.
Very interesting interview there with Gloria Totten. She's the president of the Progressive Majority. They're doing great work. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm the producer, Matt Renner, and I'll be hosting the next hour with Larissa Alexandrovna, the reporter for Raw Story. Go check out some of her articles and call in with your questions. We'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, I'm finding it harder to be a gentleman every day.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Immigration and Customs agents swept through 34 states looking for illegal immigrants with rap sheets and outstanding warrants, and finding more than 2,200 of them. ICE spokesman Mark Raimondi.
This is a nationwide operation from coast to coast, from 150 arrests in Boston to more than 700 arrests in California, and we're just getting started.
Operation Return to Sender takes a few drops, at least, out of an overflowing bucket. At Dulles Airport, the sweep caught dozens at a construction site.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials now say 55 people in the country illegally were arrested here at Dulles. They were doing contract work at a construction site inside a secure area. ICE agents made their move as the workers were being bused to the site. They checked work and immigration papers. The agency says one of the workers had an airport security badge that grants unescorted access to the airport tarmac. Most of the people arrested here will be flown to an ICE detention facility in El Paso to begin removal proceedings. Neil Augenstein for CBS News, Dulles Airport.
President Bush says don't expect zero violence in Iraq, ever. His message, steady as she goes.
With Iraq topping the list of issues that will dominate the fall campaign, Mr. Bush was adamant he won't be running away from it.
But my voice, what you hear from me, no matter what these polls and all the business look like, is that it's worth it. It is necessary, and we will succeed.
With this idea that there's now a new, capable, sovereign government in Iraq requiring U.S. help to implement an Iraqi agenda, the president is also providing a rationale why U.S. troops won't be coming home anytime soon.
CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod there. Alberto is now just a tropical depression. He's left a lot of rain, 8 inches of rain there in Raleigh, North Carolina. A lot of it was badly needed, though. The east coast of Florida was soaking it up. Parts of Georgia and the Carolinas were pretty dry, too. Alberto now is spinning out and northeasterly into the Atlantic. He's expected to fall apart before long. New study says an ambulance somewhere in America is turned away from an emergency room all too often.
Diversion occurs in this country at the rate of one diversion every minute. Every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
That means two or three times since we started talking here. Dr. Brent Eastman, one of the study's authors. In Chicago, there's a court fight over circumcision. The mother wants her 8-year-old son to have the procedure. The boy's father says no, that's mutilation. National experts will be flying in next week to testify in Cook County Court. Officials say circumcision has faded in popularity in the last 25 years. Not that it was ever considered a lot of fun by young boys of any age. On Wall Street, the Dow was up nearly 111 points to close at about 10,817. The Nasdaq gained 13.5 points. Oil prices $69.14 a barrel, up 58 cents. This is CBS News.
I never get tired of hearing, "Mr. Orrick, your 8-pound hotel vacuum has made a difference in my life. A chore has become a joy. My carpets actually look like new, and the air I breathe is fresh. What a difference your vacuum has made in my life." Friend, try my Oreck XL for 30 days, risk-free. If you don't love it, we'll take it back. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and we'll make a difference in your life.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And there's only one way to stop them.
With Barracuda Network's spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
You can't even do it in the woods and get away with it anymore, whatever it is.
A small plane carrying an infrared camera uses its heat-seeking power to spot suspects, stranded hikers, and now underage drinking parties. Pilot and state trooper Troy Davis.
The system can spot a campfire from miles away in any kind of heat source.
Including groups of teens holding keggers.
A lot of them have access to four-wheel drives. They're just for buying it up.
They're where they think no one can get to them.
Exactly. Because wouldn't that be where you'd go if you didn't want to get caught doing something you weren't supposed to do? So
you fly over and you got them.
We're able to easily track them and direct ground units right to them.
Heather Bosch for CBS News, Snohomish, Washington.
The crew of the space shuttle Discovery is at Kennedy Space Center practicing. They're simulating pre-launch countdown, and they stay with it right through the early phases of the flight into orbit in the simulators, working through all the just-in-case scenarios they can think of. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness with the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunt.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Usually when you hear the hip-hop music playing in the background, it's the producer Matt Renner taking over for Peter B. Collins. He's on his way back from his trip to the Help Take America Back conference or something like that. Is that what it was called, Larissa?
Yeah, in D.C., that's exactly what it's called.
There in the background, confirming the few facts that I do have in front of me, is Larissa Alexandrovna, are you the managing editor of Raw Story?
I'm the you don't have any facts in front of you.
No, I like to let you bring the facts, Larissa.
No, managing news editor. I'm the news side.
Excellent. She's going to co-host with me today. She is one of those people that has an amazing wealth of knowledge and information about current events. Also, last time she co-hosted with me, a lot of people called in to hit on you. It looks like a lot of the bloggers actually picked up their telephones to call in and express their love on the radio. It's interesting how radio works like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually, remember somebody asked me out on a date.
Oh, yeah. Who was that again?
I'm not telling.
Okay. Yeah, I think a couple people did, too. I think I was the one that got shot down.
But yeah, well, you know.
Speaking of which, you're in Florida right now, right, Larissa?
I am, yes.
And how'd that tropical storm turn out?
It was fine. I didn't even do anything.
Excellent.
But our governor, or, you know, the second, or the next Bush president.
Oh, no, please don't say that.
Declared a state of emergency, you know, when there was drizzle. So... yeah.
Are you saying that in jest, or do you know something that we don't? Because I'm always suspicious with you.
No, you're suspicious with me. No.
That you know more than I do.
He really declared a state of emergency.
I was talking about him being the next Bush president.
Oh, well, I mean, there's speculation. You know, I certainly don't think the country could withstand another one of these brothers. I think we need a break permanently.
Interesting. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today because, as Larissa said, she is the managing news editor at Raw Story.
Right, which means I know no news whatsoever.
It means you look at the headlines and put them up on the website, right?
Actually, no. I'm the news, the investigative news, the reporting side.
Interesting. Can you talk about what you're working on recently? I mean, what's coming out next?
You know, I've been on Iran for months now, so yet another Iran piece is coming out tomorrow.
Is there some kind of issue over there?
Where, in Iran? Yeah, there is. As we've discussed, you know, now for quite some time, that obviously this administration wants regime change, and they have employed all sorts of questionable characters in pursuit of that. Not the least of which is the terrorist organization called MEK that is being used in the south of Iran. Essentially as a death squad, and they are on the State Department terrorist group list, but we're employing them anyway.
Isn't that actually against the law?
One would think, but the way they got around this, I'm told, and I wrote about this, and I think we've discussed this before too, the way they got around this, the administration, is that they basically had the MEK members simply leave the organization and form a new one that was pro-democracy.
Nice.
Right.
Excellent. So now, that's a great
right.
tactic.
Yeah, no, it apparently worked. So there was no presidential finding. That means that the CIA isn't running them. It's the DIA, which is much more disturbing because it appears to be a ploy to bypass Congress. You know, so there's a lot going on in terms of Iran that I've already covered. The fact that our vice president's office, probably, I'm assuming, although this I don't know, our vice president is using the services of a man called Gurbanifar, who is an Iranian arms dealer, well known for his smuggling during Iran-Contra. He's using him to surveil our ambassador to Iraq.
Now, is that still current after your report came out?
I don't see anything has changed. I would have heard if it had changed. My understanding is he's still in play, and he's monitoring any, you know, type of unauthorized, quote-unquote, activity by Ambassador Khalilzad with any of the Iranians. So there's a whole slew of stuff going on, and obviously we know we had discussed before the carrier movements that everyone's keeping an eye on.
Right. Colonel Sam Gardner reported that on the Peter B. Collins show, that there are, what is it, three aircraft carriers heading for the Gulf?
Well, no, one's there and two are heading for the Gulf. But that's not even what's alarming. What's alarming is the exercise that's being done called Valiant Shield. And this I haven't covered because I think it's fairly well known, and if it's not, then, well, okay, now I'm telling you. There's an exercise being done called Valiant Shield, and it's the largest Navy exercise since Vietnam.
Wow.
Right.
So they're getting ready for something.
Well, aside from all of these little particulars, as you know, you could use them as markers to say something's wrong, this doesn't make sense, this doesn't make sense. There's other things going on, and that is the fact that Iran does not have this nuclear weapons program that everyone claims that they do. I mean, obviously, if they did, then we'd have to have real serious discussions.
Right.
We're not having those. We're playing games. Certainly, this whole incentives package is just ridiculous because it's got deal killers in it. I don't know if they're buying time, what they're doing. Generally, I am told that for such activities, in other words, a regime change, one prefers the summer because the students are all back from school, and usually it's the students who you prepare for the, the civil unrest, if you will.
Nothing like a good summertime coup. We're speaking with Larissa Alexandrovna on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'd like to hear from you. The phone number is 888-579-2540. Again, that's 888-579-2540. We'll be taking your calls all hour. Larissa, we're going to go to a break, so hang on there for a minute, and we'll be right back here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The most explosive, macintoshes, potentest, braggadocious.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, hear Linda Gerchick, the number one REMAX commercial investment agent in Arizona. Hear how Linda analyzes and acquires cash flow properties, finances, and leverages her strategies for investors. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Heard all over Northern California, Sunday mornings at 10. For more information, log on to rockrollerrealestate.com or call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
It's 4:17 now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's check traffic with Metro Diane.
We have an injury accident in Gilroy. It's westbound 152 at Poline Road. A stolen vehicle actually went off the roadway and down an embankment. So CHP is on scene, just waiting for a tow truck to arrive and clear it on out of there. In Live Oak, northbound Capitola Road at 30th Avenue, watch out for a tire in the roadway. And also keep your eyes open in San Juan Bautista, southbound 101 at Pajaro River Bridge. There's a box in the lanes there. Monterey, Del Monte Avenue between Sloat Avenue and Camino El Estero. Public Works crews have begun a maintenance project, which includes resurfacing lanes and fixing storm drains, so expect delays in the area. This report is brought to you by Audi. Test drive the new 2007 Audi Q7 4.2 SUV. Visit your Bay Area Audi dealer or BayAreaAudiDealers.com for info. The Audi Q7, the newest luxury SUV in the industry. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm his producer, Matt Renner, filling in for him today while he flies back from the Take Back America conference. Joined here on the air with Larissa Alexandrovna, and Larissa and I were just discussing the American war in Iran to come. Larissa, I wanted to wrap up that segment talking about, I just wanted to ask you, what do you think? Do you think we're going in, and when?
Well, as far as I know, the estimates have not changed for those people who believe that we are going in. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And the time range that they're saying is either summer or fall. It used to be the spring of 2007, but that kind of assessment, or estimate rather, has since really quieted down, and I'm hearing more summer or fall. Is this going to happen? Frankly, I don't know. But enough people think that something is going on that it's absolutely important that we continue staying on this story. So
now let's define going in, because from what I've read and what I understand is we wouldn't necessarily be invading. We're going to do some sort of bombing campaign and then pause and see what the response is.
Right. Well, I think first what we're doing, and we've already started that, is causing disorder and unrest. Trying to give the old, you know, the concept of, you know, freedom fighters, the revolution, you know, and George Washington's again, you know, that whole scenario. I think that is what we're doing. And then, yeah, then we're going to be doing airstrikes at locations that we don't even know where they are. But we're going to be doing surgical strikes. So
scary stuff. Well,
yeah, I mean, since we don't know what we're looking for or where these supposed locations really are, these surgical strikes should be fairly accurate, right?
Yeah, that worked out so well in Iraq. Let's take a call. We've got Ed here from Carmel. Ed, go ahead.
Matt and Larissa, thank you so much for taking my call. And I was going to bring you back to 9/11, but I got so fascinated in what you were talking about with Iran. But I've just finished reading a piece by Richard Andrew Grove about 9/11, and it seemed like a classic piece of disinformation where the author starts out with high credibility, and after you've read 30 pages, he sounds so weird you almost don't want to go on.
But what?
But after, you know, there's always a bit of truth in these, and I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
First of all, were there any transactions on September 10th that were highly unusual, and who would profit from them? That's the first one.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of put options. I know that. And I'm definitely not an expert in this area, so forgive me. But my understanding is that there were put options, not only on the 10th, but I understand within that couple of days right before. I don't know who benefited from that, but they were suspect because when you have that kind of activity in the market, It triggers an automatic FBI response, mm-hmm. and it apparently didn't. And also, it was strange what the put options, you know, what they were betting on, and that was the two airlines. So I think, and, you know, again, forgive me, I'm not an expert, but yes, there were.
I believe there's put options also put on the Boeing stock.
Uh-huh.
But, again, I'm not an expert either, and I don't want to speculate because I don't know exactly what you're talking about. But I've heard rumor of financial interactions, basically, where somebody profited and hid the huge funneling of money by destroying buildings 1 and 2, and one of the reasons they had to take down building 7 also. But again,
okay, where are we going with this?
I'm sorry, Ed, do you have a more detail for us about what you're talking about?
Well, no, I'm simply just recounting from this this transcript.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other pieces he has in it is, do you know, is this a verifiably true statement that Donald Rumsfeld on September 10th, 2001, announced that $2.3 trillion of U.S. taxpayer funds had been misappropriated by the Pentagon accountants and lost?
Yeah, and he said the bureaucracy was our greatest enemy. It was a matter of life and death because so much money had gone missing.
Wow.
That is correct. You are absolutely right.
But it seems like such an astounding amount. It's larger than the entire gold reserves that we have.
Right. But you also have to remember that that money didn't go all of a sudden missing on Rummy's watch. That money had been let's just say it's been moved around, rearranged, however it went missing, you know, had been going on since, I think, I have to check, but I believe it was 97 that this amount of money, let's say deficit started in the Pentagon.
Interesting, and I'm sure that the war in Iraq has done nothing to help that situation. We've lost billions there also.
We've lost 30 billion? It was initially 9 billion that was thrown out in trucks and delivered via copters, but altogether it's 30 billion. And by the way, the signing statements, you're familiar with the signing statements of the president,
right?
The 750, after a bill is passed, you know, the president signs the document, and, you know, he's been putting in these little statements basically saying, I don't have to follow the law. And one of these was he didn't think there needed to be an investigation, or that it wasn't in the that there shouldn't be an investigation into the loss of these funds abroad, which is astounding to me.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Ed.
The $2.3 trillion, this is not a deficit. This is simply a lost amount. Is that correct?
Well, I don't believe lost would be a good word. I would say moved elsewhere because
unaccounted for, maybe?
What?
Unaccounted for.
That's the best way to put it, is unaccounted for. But to say lost implies that somehow it disappeared without anyone noticing. I don't believe that's the case.
Well, if it's this could, you know, obviously have huge implications in cleaning up our entire environment and our school system and social services. So it's one of those figures that's so staggering you can't get it out of your mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
Well, thanks for the call today, Ed. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you later, Ed.
You know, the irony is I was just writing an op-ed piece about that missing money because I found the footage from, is it CBS? CBS or NBC News, one of the two, of this press conference where Donald Rumsfeld literally says, you know, the bureaucracy is our biggest enemy. It's our, you know, it's a matter of life and death because now we find that we are short, you know, 2.7 or whatnot trillion.
That's such an amazing number.
Hmm?
It's an unfathomable number. I mean,
well, I
trillion.
Didn't even know they had that kind of money laying around to you know, misplace or misassign. Now my guess is it was moved elsewhere,
yeah.
Not in one chunk. I think over a period of time.
Right, maybe four or five chunks.
Well, if you got like all these people who don't deserve, you know, who are not qualified, who shouldn't have security clearances, working there, you know, this guy takes a little, this guy takes a little, then you've got the contract guys throwing money to the wind. Altogether, after, you know, since 97, so altogether after that amount of time, I could see, you know, it all adding up, although it's...
What people in particular are you talking about that don't have security clearances, that have access to funds?
Well, I mean, if you go back to the Pentagon under Rumsfeld, for example, where Douglas Feith was Undersecretary for Defense Policy, you had Paul Wolfowitz, and you had Richard Perle on the advisory board.
Right.
These guys had had their clearances pulled in the past for leaking classified information.
That seems to be a common theme in this administration.
Right. And especially Feith and Perle are notorious for some of their other dealings, their shady dealings. And In fact, Pearl had to resign again because yet again he was involved in something. But what these guys do is they, you know, they're pushed out and they wait for a friendly administration to put them back in.
Yeah, it's interesting how all those same faces are back ever since they were pretty much disgraced.
You mean Iran-Contra's back?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, you've got Elliot Abrams, who's like the he's the Deputy National Security Advisor. Hello? You know what kind of clearances he has?
No.
Well, fairly high. But what I'm saying is that you've got these culprits, and I do call them culprits because of their history. You've got these culprits in the Pentagon. You've got them, you know, you've got them making decisions. You've got contractors getting, you know, a no-bid awarded contracts to, you know, friends, and that are overpaid for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of this kind of like, let's use this as our own personal piggy bank thing.
We're going to take another break here, Larissa, but I want to get back to that when we come back. I think it's a very interesting topic, especially in light of Bush's approval rating. I had a moment where I thought that the American public was starting to catch on and seeing through this ridiculously corrupt administration, and when he was down, you know, in the low 30s. But it looks like he's making a little bit of a rebound now that we killed Zarqawi.
Well, it's only USA Today that's saying that, right?
That's true. You mean McNews?
I'm going to wait for Zogby, or
okay.
I'm going to wait for the Gallup folks.
Before you start getting horrifically depressed?
Yeah, I mean, one poll, I just don't buy it. I'm sorry. Zarqawi, people are, especially the way he died. Well, let's go take a break. Right?
I think we're going to have to take a break before we get into it, because that's a huge story. But yes, I think that the way it's been played up and trumpeted is something that's to his advantage. Also, we'd like to take your calls when we come back. We've got one person holding. We've got a couple lines available if you want to reach us at 888-579-2540. As you can tell, Larissa is an extremely intriguing person. So get on the phone, and she'll try to answer your questions as long as it doesn't reveal too much. We'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show About College Funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm normally the producer, Matt Renner, but today I'm filling in for Peter while he flies back home. I'm joined over the phone with Larissa Alexandrovna. We are taking your phone calls on all kinds of interesting subjects so far, Larissa. We got a caller here who wants to talk about Iran. Let's go straight to him. Go ahead, Butcher.
Yeah, Matt, Larissa, it's good to hear you too. Afternoon, anyway.
Hi.
Listen. You were talking earlier about, especially Larissa was talking about when we're going into Iran. Not only is it going to be when we go in, it's going to be where we go in. If you look at the map, we can pretty much take our choice. We don't have as many obstacles as we did going into Iraq. Now, what she was talking about, the beginning of this going into Iran. The word I think we're looking for is, and it's a word that you guys are going to make your living off of for years to come now, it's called propaganda. And both sides are throwing it back and forth. And at some point, it'll go from verbal confrontation to something a little more tragic.
All right.
Sorry, well, are you suggesting that, hello?
He's there still.
I'm sorry, are you suggesting that I'm pushing propaganda?
No. I'm just saying that the media, you know, it's not the military-industrial complex. It's the media-industrial complex because people are influenced by TV, by what the camera shows us.
Okay. And
not so much you and I, because we can only report what we're told, what we hear, and you know what is on, going on by phone.
Okay. Thanks, Butcher. I want to see if we can turn that into a question, Larissa. So first of all, to address,
was there a question there?
we're gonna see if we can turn it into one because I want to know what he's talking about too. Where are we going in if we do go in? Apparently, I mean, it sounds more like a bombing campaign to me.
It is a bombing campaign, my understanding, and certainly Sam Gardner, who went on the record in one of my articles and has appeared on your show, has discussed this at great length and is much more of an expert in this field in terms of military strategy and such than I am.
Right.
So there are going to be airstrikes, and he's pointed specifically to using B-2 bombers and B-52s. We won't. He doesn't think that we will need ground troops because, well, at least this is his belief. Now, I think I want to go back because I'm confused about the propaganda thing.
Okay.
And I don't think I make my living on propaganda, or at least I try not to. So if you see me doing anything that looks like propaganda, do let me know. But
no, I don't think that was necessarily directed at you. I think that Butcher was talking about the propaganda that's been ramping up in terms of focusing on Iran and the stories that have been coming out saying, you know, Iranians are committing something akin to genocide. I forget exactly what that was, but
right,
I heard something.
No, exactly. In fact, you know, Rick Santorum, the senator from Pennsylvania was saying on the Senate floor, I think this was last year in May maybe, he was saying, he had said something to the effect of, You know, they torture people. They, you know, detain people. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here. So do we. But if the caller meant that that there is a spin machine in action, that there is what had happened right before the Iraq War with the, if you remember, the White House Iraq Group, which
right.
operated out of Dick Cheney's office and had literally the entire senior staff of this administration working out of it.
Are any of those guys in trouble right now?
Mm-hmm. Their goal was to sell the war domestically.
Right.
And so they came up with the mushroom cloud and all this stuff. And that sort of, you know, the mainstream television news especially, and certainly some reporters at the New York Times, for example, Judith Miller, you know, you've got the, who sort of took it as on face value and ran with it. I would call that propaganda, yes. But I do think that there are reporters who are reporting concerns about, in other words, when I report about Iran, I'm trying to report the fact, and the fact at this point would seem that even though these guys aren't a threat to us in any immediate future by any measure, there's a foreign policy that's focused on regime change. Whether they stop enrichment or not, it doesn't matter. They've set up traps in these incentive packages, the U.S. it is, that make it impossible for Iran to agree to, because no one would agree to some of these things. For example, Iran has to prove as part of this latest incentive package that enrichment makes economic sense. Now, right. Now let me ask.
That's
you
a good one.
Right. Does rebuilding New Orleans make economic sense?
Yes.
Does it?
I can't prove it though.
It's a necessity.
Right.
One would think. I don't think it's a you know something we're going to make a profit off of. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I take your point. I think that.
Right. They're
trying
to establish a non-dependence. They're trying to establish their own energy program, and they're not, I don't think, interested. I don't see how they're, when you're dealing with internal policies, how that has to produce a profit. But that's what America is saying. We want you to prove that this is going to be profitable.
Right, and I think that a lot of America's effort is, as Butcher said, and as we've talked about, part of the propaganda campaign. I mean, it's pretty clear that they have decided that they're going into Iran and they're looking for their angle. And
right.
making it seem like we're offering them some sort of deal and talking about how great it is and how, you know, Iran's going to turn us down. You know, it's inevitable. There's no way that they can accept
right,
the
right.
deal.
Right, because everyone's hailing like, oh, look, you know, the U.S. is negotiating and isn't this great? And
it's
reality-
like they're proud of them for using, diplomacy for the first time ever, even though it's not real diplomacy.
Well, but Iran has been, I don't support fundamentalism and these types of extremists. Whether they're Muslims, Christians, or otherwise. But what I'm saying is, in terms of, you know, just basic principle, Iran has been reaching out to the U.S. They've agreed to things I never thought in my lifetime I'd see them agree to, and we've said no. And we've created this incentive package that the United Nations and the big countries, the permanent members of the council, are saying, great, this is a great package, but it's unconscionable. It's immoral because it's like a trick, because you have to prove that the thing you need internally is going to be for profit when you're not doing it for profit. This is a problem. And when he said that, you know, this is something you and I are going to make our living off of, I certainly don't see myself making a living off of lies. And
Let's hope that he had the best intentions in saying, you know, it's our job to try to dispel some of the propaganda.
Right, right. I think he's concerned that I'm saying we're going into Iran as though I'm trying to sell it, and when in fact I'm saying we're going without any reason, evidence, or attempt at real diplomacy on any level. And that's the problem.
Now, I think that that leads us into an interesting place, because what we've seen, and I'm sure you can talk about this because you're a member of the up-and-coming blogosphere-ish websites that have taken over and really provide quality news.
Right.
My question to you is, do you think that that has the effect that we're looking for, or does it give them a bigger target? I mean, are they saying, look, it's not the mainstream media, so they just, I mean, you know, the people on the other side and the mainstream media also can just bash the blogosphere and just call everyone bloggers like it's a dirty word.
Well, I mean, they use bloggers as a dirty word. I'm not a blogger. I'm an alternative media, but alternative anything is also dirty. We're not popular. We're not in the click.
Right.
You know, we're not eating lunch with the football players type of thing. So we're not, you know. And that doesn't really bother me because I, for one, don't need their approval. What does bother me is when I see what I believe to be a grassroots movement and the leading, you know, some leading members of that movement become the very thing that they are rising up against. That, you know.
And what are you referring to?
I'm not referring to, I don't want to say specifically, I'm just saying in general. Ethics is ethics, and the moment you become the very thing you're fighting against, you've lost your way terribly. So, does it really matter that the mainstream accepts you or not? No.
Yeah, we've seen what they've come up with recently.
Well, I mean, you know, they have these standards like blogs or alternative media can't ever be wrong, or if one of them is wrong, then it discredits everybody, whereas you have someone like Judith Miller winning Pulitzer Prize for what?
Right.
He wrote 4 out of the 5 articles that led us into war. The ones, saying, look, there's indisputable evidence. The articles that were then used by this administration to go on the TV shows and say, look what was reported, blah, 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 blah. I mean, she was involved directly in propaganda, and she's seen as a hero. She was awarded, you know, the first, the freedom of, what was she awarded with? Free speech award or something? She was honored. And
it's unbelievable. It's
right.
A disgrace.
So it's absolutely just crazy, and so I don't think it really matters. And I think good work speaks for itself, and it withstands scrutiny. So.
Well, I consider your work among the best, and I think that you do amazing stuff. I really appreciate you talking so honestly about how you feel about the alternative media, and I think it's something that might, you know, as Butcher said, it could possibly be the antidote to some of the propaganda, especially with things like the internet and, you know, progressive talk radio that is, you know, pretty limited at this moment, but is growing.
Well, I don't know if it's the... We've always had an alternative media. It's the real fourth estate. I think
recently it's been pretty slack.
Because we've had a mechanism of distribution. It used to be that, you know, the alternative media couldn't afford this kind of distribution, the kind
right.
that rivals the mainstream. The internet has provided that vehicle. So it has gotten, you know, a lot more powerful in terms of being taken seriously by, you know, the mainstream and internationally, even people read America's alternative press.
Absolutely.
The point is that the mechanism has to stay intact. That is, the blogs have to take the alternative news, the news that's being reported by the alternative press, and they have to spread it as they've been doing. And they have to continue that and keep it up. At the same time, they have to pull back from the traditional press when they visibly, I'm not saying someone who errs, but I mean someone who sits there and literally says something that isn't true, they have to bombard that television station or that newspaper and say, okay, because of this, I'm not going to watch you anymore, and contact the advertisers and say, you know, I don't support propaganda.
Right.
So I think if you have that dual approach and the blogs and the internet and every, you know, people continue with the mechanism, that's going to make a difference. If the mechanism gets screwed up or fails or doesn't work together as opposed to infighting, then I don't think there will be success. So.
Absolutely. Larissa Alexandrovna joining me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm the producer, Matt Renner. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Our normal traffic reporter has gotten tied up. I don't know if she's stuck on the road or what, but she wasn't picking up the phone. So you've got me here for a minute. I don't know what's going on out there on the road, but I will tell you what's going on here at KRXA. We've got an amazing new morning show that is always entertaining to listen to. You got to hear Coach Casey go off sometimes. I think it was yesterday, was it, Hal? When Coach Casey freaked out and screamed at one of our listeners, and it was excellent. He said it so well, just like a coach should, when you can yell and yet be articulate. It's amazing. Hal and Casey host the show and do about an hour of local politics as well as some national stuff. We've got a very interesting debate going on tomorrow about development. We'll have to stay tuned and check that out. You're listening to KRXA, and thanks so much for listening. I enjoy hosting, and if you want to catch me, I'm also hosting a show on Sunday from 2 to 3 called The Naked Ape. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show and our last segment today with Larissa Alexandrovna. I've got a couple questions to get to, Larissa, but we've got a caller on the line here for you. We've got Ben in Salinas. Go ahead, Ben.
Yes, my question for the young lady is this. Knowing what you know about world politics, let's say we go into Iran with some kind of a tactical nuke, they call it, I guess. Does anybody out there really think Russia and China are going to stand by and watch us blow off nukes there and their territory? They've already been having war games practices together.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, thanks for the question. I'm going to put you on hold.
It's a good question. My concern over the what appears to be the looming Cold War, I mean, when you've got China and Russia standing together backing Iran, and China owns, you know, basically has all our money, we have a serious problem. Because any action we take, they won't need to retaliate, I would think, in the military sense. They just call in their loan. They call in the money, and that's it. We're done. I mean, we do not have any money. And, obviously we know that these guys have put the nuclear option on the table. And as a result, you've seen that there's been a mass exodus of generals who are also saying that others will step down if this isn't, you know, if this is even put into the as a possibility.
Ben, did you have another comment?
No, I just want to thank the young lady for her courage. I wish more Americans had her brain. She got more balls than any man that I know.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think it. I don't know if it's courage. I just think it's a necessity at this point.
Well, I appreciate it also, and I love checking in with you every week here on the Peter B. Collins Show, because every week when we talk at the breaks, you manage to scare me for a whole other week.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me tell you. I think that we will not use any nukes. I think it's a scare tactic, because
right.
I think if we even attempted, I believe, or perhaps I'm fooling myself, but I believe there are enough people within the military who would, by the way, the military can refuse an illegal order. I believe.
I think they're required to refuse an illegal order.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sorry. Yes, they're required. I believe enough people would step down. There would be a revolt. There would be mutiny, I would think.
Inside the ranks.
Oh, my God. I think, well, I mean, we know that there are people on the inside who are, you know, saying that, look, we're going to leave. We're going to walk, step down. We're going to resign, turn in our, you know, our brass, and we're out of here if you even have this as any contingency plan.
Well, I think that it's something that we are definitely going to have to wait and see. I also doubt that we would use nukes. It's just too unbelievable. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't put much past these guys anymore, but I wanted to get your opinion about a couple other things quickly here, LaRosa, as we're running out of time.
Mm.
The Karl Rove indictment story has been something that has been a headache for me personally, you know, even though I don't have much stake in it, but it was so tempting. And so I almost had a party when Jason Leopold reported that he had been indicted. And then, you know, he was hung out to dry. Do you have any opinions about that, or what have you seen?
Well, I think for me the biggest problem was the way that the so-called left celebrated the failure. And I'm assuming this is a failure at this point, given that apparently there is a letter. I find it suspect that Fitzgerald would not comment, and I think it's in the public interest that he's, you know, he needs to tell the public, you know, what occurred. We are entitled to know. But despite that, it appears that this is now accepted as fact, and so the celebration of the failure of a journalist doing honest work who although I have issues with some of his approaches, I don't believe he would cook a story. And so this celebration of someone's failure and this, you know, ha ha, I told you so kind of attitude, and the celebration that an alternative publication failed is really alarming to me. More so than anything that happened to Rove, because whatever else, you know, truth has enough enemies, but it has very few people trying to get it out. And this, to me, is just an assault on everybody trying to do good work. And I think it discourages. I know.
I don't understand it. I don't understand what the idea is behind it.
I don't know. It discourages writers. I mean, look, I've had debates all week long with other alternative writers, some well-known, some not, who are like, well, who am I writing for? Forget it. Because I make one mistake. You know, nobody wants to make a mistake, and you do the best you can with the facts that you're given. You check. Your editor checks. If it's a story like this, I know Mark Ash flew to another state to meet with these sources.
Right.
Over a two-week period, they had many meetings. So, you know, it's not like somebody sitting in their basement, you know, making this up. This was a serious investigation. And something went wrong. Something changed. And people are assuming that because something had changed, the original report is false. Is it false? I don't know. Could it have been a mistake? Maybe. Could he have been set up? Maybe. Did he cook it? No way.
Right.
No way.
Right. That has never made sense to me. But another person that got hung out to dry recently is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who put together an amazing piece.
But these are the same people.
And I don't understand why people have decided that we can't talk about voting machine problems.
I'll tell you why. It goes back to what I said earlier. When you try really hard to be accepted into a group or a process or a medium that you rose up against because it's been such a failure, when you try that hard to fit in and you step that far away from the truth, then you no longer serve the purpose, the cause. You've become part of the problem.
Right.
And so I agree. I mean, he had over 200 footnotes. I read most of them. I was cited for one of them,
nice.
my article, on an investigation I did that was months long that had 7 people at the end, although I started off with 20 witnesses, that had footage, that had, you name it, an FBI investigation. And yet somehow nobody thought that worthy at the time when I wrote it. And now you have someone of his stature saying very publicly something that many people for a very long time have researched and agree with. And certainly it's something I agree with because fact is fact. There's no fair imbalance.
Right.
It's fact. And
there aren't two sides to this story. It seems pretty obvious that it happened.
Yeah, I mean, how it happened might be slightly different. Did it happen? Absolutely. You would have to deny your own senses to say that something wasn't orchestrated.
Right. I mean, it was pretty obvious from the moment, I mean, from that day when you saw the long lines, it was like, clearly something is going wrong when people wait 8 hours in line.
It wasn't even just Ohio, but Ohio was the best example because you had people with, literally, you had people who brought their cell phones and took footage. You have people who knew this would happen and took tape recordings. You had people with video cameras. People documented these things. I, in Florida, witnessed a Miami Herald journalist being beaten by the police. And it disappeared in the Miami Herald for for a blip. And then it disappeared.
Wow.
And I couldn't find it again afterwards.
And then we get the cases of bloggers. I think it's a blogger inferiority complex,
and
I know I'm going to piss
bloggers.
Some of them off.
It's alternative press, and I don't want to start a blog alternative press, let's attack each other. So I'm not going to name them.
Right.
But they have made it almost a blanket policy. If you talk about this, people won't take us seriously. Well, I'm sorry. Facts are facts, and I don't understand what is more important.
It's like if you won't talk about it, then I'm not going to take you seriously anymore. Basically, is how I feel about it.
That's my certainly my attitude. I mean, this is why a lot of kind of media events and such I don't attend because I won't support certain groups who I feel. Are actually part of the problem at this point because they're so willing to sacrifice facts and truth for acceptance into the very establishment that they rose up against.
Absolutely. Larissa, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You've got to get your own show. You're excellent. Everyone, thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back at you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Angelina's Bakery would like to thank and officially recognize all fathers for their hard work. And in appreciation, Angelina's Bakery would like to invite you to come by and enter to participate in a raffle in which you can win big for Dad. There will be a variety of prizes and gift card discounts for in-store use, so stop by and surprise your father. The owners and staff of Angelina's Bakery would like to thank all fathers and wish each and every father a wonderful day. Come to Angelina's Bakery and order your goodies in advance. And receive a 15% discount. Angelina's Bakery is located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, across from Craig and Auto Parts. We'll see you at Angelina's.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush says no one should expect zero violence in Iraq, not ever. But violence will come down, and American troops will come home. And he says there is a prescription for that.
Winning means a government that can sustain itself, defend itself, and govern itself, and an ally in the war on terror.
Reporters posed questions today on the president's return from his surprise visit to Baghdad. Back in Iraq, CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan.
Still, anger over the U.S. presence here and the president's surprise visit boiled over. Thousands of followers of radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr made it clear again that the 130,000 U.S. troops still in Iraq should withdraw immediately and leave Iraq to its own devices.
Inflation is awake, never a good thing, and thanks to gasoline prices, consumer prices were up in May 0.4%. CBS's Anthony Mason says there's another big price mover.
Where the biggest increase is coming from is in rental prices for housing. What's happening is that because mortgage rates are soaring, people are stopped buying houses because they can't afford them. So they're renting. That's driving up rental prices, and that's the biggest contributor we have to this rise in inflation right now.
Business analysts say it could have been a lot worse. On Wall Street, the Dow was up nearly 111 points today to close at about 10,817. Those oil prices, $69.14 a barrel, up 58 cents. The ACLU is asking federal judges to order the government to release information collected on average Americans since September 11th.
The ACLU says the Pentagon is conducting surveillance of Iraq protests, anti-war organizations, and people who attend peace rallies. The information is reportedly being collected and shared with other government agencies in a database called TALON, or Threat and Local Observation Notice. It was created after 9/11 to keep an eye out for groups and individuals with possible links to terrorism.
That's CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein. The ACLU claims it's wrong for the government to do that. The rain in Raleigh's been ridiculous. 8 inches and flooding. CBS News correspondent Jim Priscilla's been getting rained on.
What had been Tropical Storm Alberto dumped as much as 8 inches of rain here in North Carolina. A 13-year-old boy drowned as he chased a ball into a flooded culvert. Many roads here in the Raleigh area are underwater. The first floor of one of the city's largest shopping malls has been flooded.
Alberto's expected to peter out as the tropical depression waffles farther out into the Atlantic.